allies, good morning. You know, as someone who led troops, led soldiers in the streets of Baghdad and Samarra, Iraq, and who trained counterinsurgents in Kabul, Afghanistan, and who still carries the weight of brothers lost to Iranian terrorist proxies, many backed by the same Iranian regime we're confronting now, this fight, Operation Epic Fury, it hits home. Our generation understands this fight. For 47 years, these barbaric savages in the Iranian regime have murdered our brothers in arms, my guys, your guys, our guys, through their terrorist proxies and cowardly attacks. Now they race toward a nuclear bomb to hold the world hostage. The Iranians have targeted and killed thousands of my American brothers. That race to a nuclear bomb, President Trump will never allow it. Not now, not ever, not on our watch. The mullahs are desperate and scrambling. Like the terrorist cowards they are, they fire missiles from schools and hospitals, deliberately targeting innocents, because they know their military is being systematically degraded and annihilated. Iran's neighbors, and in some cases, former allies in the Gulf, they've abandoned them. And their proxies, Hezbollah, the Houthis, and Hamas, either broken, ineffective, or on the sidelines. Iran stands alone, and they are badly losing. On day 10 of Operation Epic Fury, we are winning with an overwhelming and unrelenting focus on our objectives, which are the same as the day I gave my first briefing here on Operation Epic Fury. They're straightforward, and we are executing them with ruthless precision. One, destroy their missile stockpiles, their missile launchers, and their defense industrial base, missiles and their ability to make them. Two, destroy their navy. And three, permanently deny Iran nuclear weapons forever. It's a laser-focused, maximum authority mission delivered with overwhelming and unrelenting precision. No hesitation, no half measures. As President Trump declared yesterday, we're crushing the enemy in an overwhelming display of technical skill and military force. We will not relent until the enemy is totally and decisively defeated. But we do so. We do so on our timeline and at our choosing. For example, today will be yet again our most intense day of strikes inside Iran. The most fighters, the most bombers, the most strikes. Intelligence more refined and better than ever. So that's on one hand. On the other hand, the last 24 hours have seen Iran fire the lowest number of missiles they've been capable of firing yet. Just the bifurcation, just the trend lines that we talked about on our first briefing. You see, this is not 2003. This is not endless nation building under those types of quagmires we saw under Bush or Obama. It's not even close. Our generation of soldier will not let that happen again, and nor will this president, who very clearly ran against those kinds of never-ending, nebulously scoped missions. Those days are dead. Instead, we're winning decisively with brutal efficiency, total air dominance, and an unbreakable will to accomplish the president's objectives on our timeline. We stay locked on the target because here at the Department of War, that's our job. Now, the chairman and I, having just returned from Dover last night, our troops and their families and the enormous sacrifice that they make is certainly heavy on my mind.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks, you still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is, and they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have a conversation for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations. So I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March mega sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexhomestore.com.
So I'll close with scripture, drawing strength from Psalm 144. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. He is my loving God and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield in whom I take refuge. May the Lord grant unyielding strength and refuge to our warriors, unbreakable protection to them in our homeland, and total victory over those who seek to harm them. And amen. God bless our troops and this mission. Chairman, over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary, and good morning, everyone, and thank you for being here. I'm here today to continue the updates to the American people and to those in the room on Operation Epic Fury. First, let me start with honoring our fallen. As the Secretary said, on Saturday and again last night at Dover Air Force Base in Delaware, our nation's leaders honored our returning fallen as they arrived home for their final time. Last week, I shared a few of the names, and today I want to share the rest. Major Jeffrey O'Brien and Chief Warrant Officer 3, Robert Marzen, were the final two fallen to return home, and members of the U.S. Army Reserve's 103rd Sustainment Command out of Des Moines, Iowa. Last night, as the news has been reporting, we honored the return of Staff Sergeant Benjamin Pennington of the U.S. Army's 1st Space Brigade from Fort Carson, Colorado. When I met Ben's family last night, his mom, his dad, and his sister, they showed me a picture, a drawing that Ben had made when he was in kindergarten. It was clear all the way back then that Ben wanted to do one thing in his life, and he wanted to serve his country and be a soldier. And to the Penningtons, just know how Ben was absolutely a great one. And finally, Major Sorfleet Davies, who returned home this weekend after sadly passing away from a medical condition while on duty in Kuwait. We welcome him home as well and mourn with his family. To the families and the families of all of our fallen, we share in your profound grief. The Joint Force remains eternally grateful for your sacrifice and the gift of a great example that your service members have given all of us. I want you to know that their names will never be forgotten, and you and your family are part of our Joint Force family forever. Let me talk a little bit about the progress thus far, acknowledging that Admiral Cooper will likely continue to give updates from CENTCOM. As the Secretary said, we're in the 10th, moving into the 11th day of Operation Epic Fury. The Joint Force remains focused on 3 military objectives. Continue to destroy Iranian ballistic missiles and drone capability in order to prevent attacks on the U.S. and others throughout the region. And this means attacking launch sites, command and control nodes, stockpiles before they can threaten our personnel, our facilities, and our partners. Second, we continue to strike the Iranian Navy and their capabilities in order to do things like sustain movement through the Straits of Hormuz. And third, we continue to start working on and going deeper into Iran's military and industrial base in order to prevent the regime from being able to attack Americans, our interests, and our partners for years to come and project power outside their borders. This means servicing production facilities, research and development sites, and infrastructure. Let me turn to the map. We're going to try digital today to prevent laser injury. Since our last update, CENTCOM continues to make progress
across the southern flank. To date, they've struck more than 5,000 targets. U.S. Strategic Command bombers recently dropped dozens of 2,000-pound GPS-penetrating weapons on deeply buried missile launchers across the southern flank. We also have struck several one-way drone factories to get at the heart of their autonomous capability. And, of course, alongside our regional partners along the southern flank, continue to execute intercepts against one-way attack drones using fighters and attack helicopters. Our strikes mean we've made significant progress in reducing the number of missile and drone attacks out of Iran. Ballistic missile attacks continue to trend downward, 90% from where they've started, and one-way attack drones have decreased 83% since the beginning of the operation. A testament to our air defenders and our air defense systems, and as I said, our partners in the region continue to do great work as well. Second, we're making substantial progress towards destroying the Navy. In the first 10 days of the conflict, were more than 50 Iranian naval ships into the campaign using a combination of artillery, fighters, bombers, and sea-launched missiles. As Admiral Cooper noted last Thursday, we struck and sank an Iranian drone carrier ship, and U.S. CENTCOM continues today to hunt and strike mine-laying vessels and mine storage facilities. This work will continue. Third, we've, against our objectives, we've begun to target Iran's military and industrial complex, again, focusing on centers of gravity to get upstream of the shooters out in the field in order to deny them the ability to continue to generate those one-way attack drones. Let me spend a minute talking about the joint force. Across the area of responsibility, this is gritty and tireless work, and I cannot begin to explain how incredibly proud I am of the extraordinary courage, tenacity, and grit and professionalism within the joint force. Last time I had a chance to talk about the Army's incredible logisticians who are out there sustaining the fight. Today I want to highlight a few groups of sailors. First, I want to thank the men and women of the Ford Carrier Strike Group and their families, and let all of them know how grateful I am for their leadership and service. The crews on board this strike group have already been endured months at sea only to get their deployment extended. These exceptional Americans, rogered up, all supported by their families, continue to stand the watch, taking the fight to the enemy over and over again, night after night. Aboard ships like the USS Ford and the Abraham Lincoln are a special group of sailors I want to highlight today. These are the men and women, the sailors up on the roof running operations on the flight deck. With an average age of the early 20s, these are the unsung heroes of naval aviation. These young sailors, known for wearing yellow shirts, are in charge of the catapults, taxiing jets around on the flight deck, shooting jets off the front end, and recovering jets off the back end. They are literally involved with every single movement on the roof on an aircraft carrier. They are the last ones that a naval aviator sees before getting shot off the front end, and the first one that a naval aviator sees after safely trapping on the back end. And just for a minute, imagine you're standing on that aircraft carrier flight deck. There's 30 knots of wind in your face. The deck is slippery, covered in grease. It's noisy. There are propellers spinning. There's jet blast everywhere. The helicopters are running. Your head is on a swivel, and you're trying to direct a multi-million-dollar fighter into a one-foot square box so that those naval aviators can be shot off into the black of night to go do America's work. Those jets are fully loaded with missiles and bombs, and they are a world-class team combined with the naval aviation and the aviators in those jets. This beautiful symphony of American spirit is the definition of perfectly organized chaos. And these crews do it every single time the carrier is at work. Oh, by the way, in the middle of the night and oftentimes in the pouring rain. These are dedicated young people who take the road less traveled to serve their great nation, doing the deeds that we need them to do.
America's enlisted force is the pride of every nation's military, certainly ours, and the envy of every other one as well. Each and every one of them out there across the joint force are extraordinary, and in particular today I want to highlight the yellow shirts. Ladies and gentlemen, our work continues. It'll continue to be difficult. I ask every American to keep our deployed force and their families in our thoughts. Combat deployments can be tough on the force and the families, and it's important that we continue to remember that. I remain deeply humbled by the 2.8 million members of the joint force, and I'll end where I started, and that's remembering our fallen and their families whose sacrifice will be felt forever. And with that, I'll take some questions with the Secretary.
A beautiful symphony of American spirit. Well said, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks, sir.
I will just note that no other country in the world is capable of executing what the chairman just described, day after day, night after night, unrelenting. Well said. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Alexandra Ingersoll, One America News. You talked, Mr. Secretary, you talked at the conference in Florida on Thursday that there was a 90% missile capabilities degradation and 83% drone degradation, and I know the chairman just repeated those numbers. We've seen the most amount of fighting these past 5 days. Is there any update to those percentages? And also, are you able to give any quantification of degradation to the enemy's nuclear capabilities yet?
What those numbers represent is a persistent low ability to respond, which is what we're looking for, right? It's if the enemy can simply wait and then project power, that's problematic. And we've seen some spurts here or there, but ultimately the trend lines, if you look at the charts that we look at every day, have gone like this down to all a flat. It doesn't mean they won't be able to project. Doesn't mean they, you know, our air defenders still don't have to defend. They do. But that is strong evidence of degradation, along with the battle damage assessment that the joint staff does, which takes time. You've got to look at imagery and recognize whether something's been simply degraded or it's been destroyed or whether an underground facility has been collapsed or completely obliterated. So there's differences in how you evaluate that, but the numbers staying that low is a demonstration of the efficacy for sure. Yeah.
Thanks, Mr. Secretary. There's been reports that the new leader of Iran has been wounded. Do you know if this is true and what his condition is? And then another one, President Trump said he had a really good call with President Putin yesterday. Will Russia be aiding us in this conflict, and can you share anything on that?
Well, the president, as I've said before, maintains strong relationships with world leaders, which creates opportunities and options for us in very dynamic ways. So the president said it was a good call. I was not on it, but those that were said it was a strong call, reaffirming hopefully the opportunity for some peace in Russia-Ukraine, and also a recognition that as it pertains to this conflict, they should not be involved. The first question was?
On the new leader of Iran, there's reports that he's been wounded.
Oh, the new leader of Iran. He would be wise to heed the words of our president, which is to not pursue nuclear weapons and come out and state as such. As far as his status, that's not something I can comment on right now. Yeah, right here. Correct.
Mr. Secretary, Eric Schmidt with the New York Times. A question for you first. Last week, you talked about this being the beginnings of an air campaign that could last 3 to 8 weeks. Can you give us your assessment on where we are now? And, Mr. Chairman, in any conflict, the enemy or the adversary adapts to the tactics it faces. Can you talk about the most challenging adaptation the Iranian military has made to the U.S. military? What challenges are you facing most right now? Thank you.
I appreciate the question. Where we are is in a very strong place, giving the President of the United States maximum options. And from the beginning, from this podium, we haven't stated how long it will take. Our will is endless. Ultimately, the President gets to determine the end state of those objectives, right? But what he's said continually, and I want the American people to understand, is this is not endless. It's not protracted. We're not allowing mission creep. The President has set a very specific mission to accomplish. And our job is to unrelentingly deliver that. Now, he gets to control the throttle. He's the one deciding. He's the one elected on behalf of the American people when we're achieving those particular objectives. And so it's not for me to posit whether it's the beginning, the middle, or the end. That's his, and he'll continue to communicate that. What we serve him as is we give him updates on a daily basis of exactly where we are so he can make that determination on the throttle. Mr. Chairman.
Thank you for the question on adaptation. As you're right, no plant survives first contact with the enemy or Murphy. They're adapting, as are we. Of course, we have very entrepreneurial warfighters out there. I'd rather not, for operational security reasons, tell them what's working. I'm not a not answer that question based on that. But we are watching what they're doing, and we are adapting faster than they are.
Are they more formidable than you anticipated, General?
I think they're fighting, and I respect that, but I don't think they're more formidable than what we thought.
Secretary Arakset, thank you. Jordan Conrad from Gateway Pundit. Axios reported, citing U.S. and Israeli sources, that the U.S. was not happy with strikes on 30 fuel depots in Iran. While this is anonymous sourcing, you know, it seems kind of congruent with what President Trump said yesterday, that there's certain spots they don't want to hit relating to the energy infrastructure that would take a long time to rebuild. And, you know, whether this reporting is true or not, what's your message to Americans, those who supported the president and those who aren't really in favor of this war and who worry that Israel might be taking advantage of the U.S.'s backing? And then
Let me step in on this. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. A lot happening over here that we're going to catch you up on. We have an incredible show lined up for you with an exclusive as well. Sonny Labosco will be joining the show, and so will Raheem Kassam. Kassam will also be on the program today. I'm excited to have Raheem on the program. He is the editor over at the National Pulse. But most importantly, he's been doing incredible reporting in regards to what's going on in Washington, D.C., but mainly the big shakedown that's going on right now. We see House, or I should say Senate Republicans, trying their very best to shake down President Trump for his endorsement for John Cornyn in Texas. But John Cornyn's a rhino, and a bunch of us have been pushing back on this, people who understand just that. We've got an update there for you. Can't wait to bring that to you. It will be a good one. But Raheem has been on it. He's been bringing back some of the best of moments of John Cornyn's rhino days. John Cornyn pretends like he is somehow, some way, someone who's an advocate for President Trump's agenda, trying to rewrite history. So we'll go there with Raheem later in the program. And Sonny Labosco is bringing us an exclusive. She actually had the not so pleasure of working with John Cornyn. John Cornyn is someone who, here if you live in Texas, he doesn't really do much for Texans. He actually does more to defend the deep state operatives rather than the people he's supposed to represent. And he knows that. As Charlie Kirk once said, he's literally laughing at his constituents. His loyalty is to his big corporate donors and not to you at home. Now, Sonny's going to come clean and tell us what exactly happened behind the scenes when she tried her best to get legislation pushed through after five Dallas police officers were brutally assassinated in the streets of downtown Dallas. She'll be joining us in a little bit. Let's kick it off. As you guys know, there was a press conference that was going on over at the Pentagon. Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of War, speaking at that press conference, giving us an update as to what's going on with the United States efforts in Iran right now. But it wasn't just Pete Hegseth speaking. Late yesterday, we also heard from the president regarding the latest update on Iran. Take a listen to clip one.
And some people could say they're pretty well complete. We wiped every single force in Iran out very completely. Most of Iran's naval power has been sunk. It's on the bottom of the sea. It's almost 50 ships. I was just notified it's 51 ships. I didn't know they had that many. Didn't last very long. And these are fighting vessels. They're meant to fight, but they're not meant to fight against us. We continue to target Iran's drone and missile capabilities. Their drones are way down. Their drone manufacturing has been hit starting today. We know all of the places they manufacture the drones, and they're being hit one after another. Their missile capability is down to about 10%, maybe less. We're also hitting where they make missiles and where they deliver missiles. We've struck over 5,000 targets to date, some of them very major targets. And we've left some of the most important targets for later in case we need to do it. If we hit them, it's going to take many years for them to be rebuilt, having to do with electricity production and many other things. So we're not looking to do that if we don't have to. But they're the kind of things that are very easy to hit, but very devastating if they are hit. We are waiting to see what happens before we hit them. We could take them all out in one day, but it's all resulting in a 90% decline in various things, but in particular, Iranian missile launchers and 83% drop in drone launchers. As you know, the drone launchers are pretty well shot, but we're at over 90% decline in the Iranian missile launchers, which is very hard to reproduce and very hard to get. And usually what we were able to do through great equipment, a lot of smart people, as soon as they sent a missile up from a launcher, we were able to knock out that launcher within a period of 5 minutes or less, accurately right on the noggin. So now we have low-cost interceptors effectively combating Iranian drones, and our B-2 bombers recently dropped dozens of 2,000-pound bombs to destroy missile launchers all over Iran and very deep under Iranian soil in many cases. The soil was no match. And we're also annihilating the manufacturing base that the regime uses to build drones and missiles at a rate that nobody thought was possible. We're knocking them out. We know where they all are. We're knocking them out very quickly.
All right. The president giving you that update yesterday, and we did play the full press conference that was held at the Pentagon earlier this morning. So there's a lot going on right now. We're going to play little bits from that press conference throughout today's show because the president continues to contradict himself in a sense. We don't know when the war is going to end. We don't know if it's officially been complete. The president's going back and forth. And when asked, you know, the Secretary of War, obviously, because it's not his position, it would obviously be the commander in chief to decide when enough is enough. Pete Hegseth saying, listen, I'm leaving this up to the president of the United States. And President Trump declaring it an absolute success. So many in the media do have, and it's a fair question, questions regarding, well, when is enough enough? Are you guys officially done with your mission in Iran? The president, again, saying maybe, and going back and forth. That's what the media is hitting him on this morning. They're not very happy with the fact that he can't give us a concise answer and a response. And again, I mean, most of us on this side of everything didn't want this in the first place. So it's quite strange to see the back and forth. But most importantly, I mean, we don't want a full-on war. The president's saying that's not going to be the case. But then also there was they were alluding to the fact that there could possibly be a draft. I mean, again, I think that's a fear-mongering tactic. I don't think there would be one. But it's something to keep in the back of your mind. Now, we're going to be going through the show later in just a little bit. Lindsey Graham, who has way too much power in this administration right now. He has the ear of the president, and those warmongers know just that. And he has been sitting there and amping up this president to go even further. We've played some sound bites for you. The one that took place yesterday on Fox was absolutely outrageous. We're going to get to that in a moment. In the meantime, though, I want to point you all over to the Alex Jones website right now, the alexjonesstore.com. Right now, America's 250th, I believe it's the anniversary t-shirt. It's on sale right now. The limited edition shirt is $14.99. Now, this is 60% off. It's regularly almost $40. Right now, when you head on over to the alexjonesstore.com, you could snag this shirt. Again, it's exclusive for a limited time only, and it is 60% off over at the alexjonesstore.com. This deal is going to end on Friday the 13th, that is. So you got to stop what you're doing right now and head on over to the shop and make sure you snag it before it's too late. We also have our March mega sale going on right now as well. Up to 40% off on some of your favorite supplements over at the alexjonesstore.com.
About to embark on a great adventure.
President Truman has chosen you and your crew to lead a highly classified mission. Where do we pick up our escort?
There will be no escort.
All I can tell you is that this cargo can end the war. you can save millions of lives.
You are my crew, and our survival depends on all of you functioning as one unit.
Yes, sir!
A short time ago, an American airplane dropped one bomb on Hiroshima. With this bomb, we have now added a new and revolutionary increase in destruction.
Now I am become death, the destroyer of worlds.
Captain! There's something in the water!
It's a Japanese bomb!
All hands, your battle station is ready for impact.
Yo-i.
Hasha!
Of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks, you still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have conversation for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations. So I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultra-methylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March mega sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning and welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're jumping on board with us today on this beautiful Tuesday morning. A lot happening over here. And the warmongers, they just can't stop. They can't stop. People like Lindsey Graham won't shut the F up. I actually think, and I thought at the time when I was watching Lindsey Graham's appearance yesterday on Hannity, I thought, well, first off, it's two very unlikable people. But then I thought, gosh, is this guy trolling us? Because it's really hard to wrap your mind around the fact that this guy is just so thirsty for blood that he would want the United States to hand over more of our young men and women to fight another war in the Middle East. But this is just an evil, evil, demonic soul. And so it's really not surprising that that's exactly what he was advocating for yesterday on Fox. Specifically, though, he's asking, and it was wild to me, but he was asking for people to, for Americans to give their children to the military. Just give their children. Then he started going off, and you're going to listen to all of it, about how he wants the Saudis to join in an alliance with the United States. And if they are attacked by Iran, which they've already been attacked by Iran, if they've attacked by Iran, we'll jump in on this fight as well with them and go to war with Iran on their behalf. It's so insane. You're going to have to listen to it for yourself in clip two. Take a listen.
Finally, to my friends in Saudi Arabia, I've been your biggest champion. I think the Crown Prince has taken Saudi Arabia in a completely different direction in a good way. But here's what I want to say to Saudi Arabia tonight. I'm willing to do a mutual defense agreement with your country to give you protection in perpetuity. Under the agreement I've been pushing, and I hope we can continue to talk about, if you're attacked by Iran, we would go to war for you. Allies to our friends in Saudi Arabia. I am willing to do a treaty to go to war for you, but you got to step up and let America know you're a reliable ally. If you cannot join this fight, Iran has attacked your country viciously. What fight are you going to join? This is a time of choosing. We need to put a coalition together that stands against evil, that insists on a better Mideast. Let's don't go backward. Let's go forward. And just finish on this thought. To the American people, all the anti-Semites, to all the isolationists, I don't believe. Forget it. I'm not with you. I'm with Israel. I will be with Israel to our dying day. They're the best ally we could hope for. So we have a commander-in-chief in President Trump, who I think is Ronald Reagan plus, plus, plus. God bless Israel. Right. We should move all our stuff to Israel. Thank you.
It's hard to believe that this is a real human being who's out here every day representing those in South Carolina. He's not really representing them in South Carolina. He's representing whoever's funding this push campaign. Might be Israel at this point. I don't know. Just a couple of conspiracies I'll throw out there. This man is evil. He is an evil, evil, evil man. The fact that he's going out there and acting as if he's president of the United States, as if he has some authority to work out a treaty with Saudi Arabia. I mean, his words, I'm willing. I'm willing. Who's in charge here? Who's in charge here? If President Trump was watching last night, he should be ashamed. Why? Well, it's clear Lindsey Graham thinks he's operating and running the White House right now. And that's the reason why he was on Hannity last night, sitting there and portraying himself to be the one but operating everything. This man, this evil, evil, demonic soul is the one who's going out there right now. And he's presenting himself to be the one in charge. That's exactly what he did. How bold is that? And for the president of the United States to sit here and allow that to take place. Man, oh man, we thought Joe Biden was bad. We thought Joe Biden was sitting there, was being operated by others behind the scenes. Well, it looks like Lindsey Graham just came out and straight up told the American people that he's running the show, that he's running the White House, that he's calling the shots. He's talking directly to the Saudis saying, I will go to war with you guys. Imagine the gojones on that guy. He's so emboldened to sit there and do that right in front of the American people. Imagine what he's saying behind closed doors. Imagine. He wants the American people to surrender their children to the military so they could go die in the Middle East like so many generations have done so far. This is a war that's going to last forever, folks. The wars in the Middle East are going to long live the rest of us. Lindsey Graham's okay with that. Lindsey Graham is okay with generations of men dying in the Middle East, American men dying in the Middle East on the behalf of Israel. This is why you want to sit here and talk about anti-Semites? No. There's people who legitimately criticize the Israeli government. And who creates those new waves of critics? People like Lindsey Graham. Oh, there you go. When you track his AIPAC money, it's close to $5 million. I mean, this is what's going on right now, folks. This is what's going on right now. They have created this monster. When you want to sit there and you want to criticize people who criticize Israel and call them a bunch of anti-Semites, let me tell you something. I actually don't even really care for anything in the Middle East, and I've been very down the middle on all of this. I don't want them in my country, regardless whether it's Israel or it's any of these Muslim countries. I don't want them. But guess what? Lindsey Graham fires up a whole new generation of Americans who despise Israel. Because when they see men like Lindsey Graham go on Fox News and make those talking points, guess what? They get fired up. They hate Israel. If Israel wants to stop the hatred that's spewing in this country right now, guess what? You got to stop these people from going out there and sounding like warmongers and pushing this country into further wars in the Middle East. I think we played it last week. He was pushing for war in Lebanon next. I mean, this man is an evil, evil man. Whether or not he has that authority, it looks like he does. Because many of us have been sitting around scratching our heads wondering, why is President Trump doing what he's doing in Iran? It's not America first. And they continue to say that there's an ongoing threat, but they've been saying that for years now. They've been saying that for decades. This is an evil, evil man. And you know what? It's worth calling it out. Because if you watch this show, you know I don't like Islamists. You know I have no problem detailing the threat that they impose on us here in the United States. But I'm not going to sit here and advocate for Israel. Although I do understand that they want to kill us all. I understand that. When you have people like Lindsey Graham going out there every day and advocating for more and more wars, for more Americans to die in the Middle East, you're radicalizing a whole new base of people who are going to criticize Israel every day, every day. They have no one to blame but themselves. This younger generation, we look at all the polling data. I know Rasmussen Reports has posted the data. We've gone over it on this show. When you look over the polling data as to how many Americans in this country, the younger generations of Americans in this country, who no longer care for Israel, who want no part in having an alliance with Israel, that number continues to grow. Why? Because we see people like Lindsey Graham on our TVs every day, and we despise that human being because he's willing to sacrifice our people for another foreign conflict. Folks, I don't get fired up over the Israel conflict. I've actually gone on many shows where we have people arguing on the panels back and forth, and I tell every side that they're both wrong. But let me tell you something. This is going to turn me completely against Israel. As if I could be, in my opinion, if I could be any further away from any type of conflict in the Middle East. I mean, this is going to create a whole new wave of hatred for Israel in this country if they continue to allow Lindsey Graham to go on Fox News and speak like that. I don't want him covering it up either, though. South Carolina has to do better. There's no way that Lindsey Graham is the best representative for South Carolinians. There's no absolute way. There's no way. That man is evil. Evil. And it's crazy, too. So when you work in politics, you'll notice that when you work on the TV side of things, the best kept secrets are usually kept with those who do makeup and hair. And there was one girl who was telling me all about how creepy Lindsey Graham was when she had to go to his house to do his hair and makeup for an interview. And this makeup artist was like, it was disgusting. It was a dungeon. He had Chick-fil-A packages and wrappers all over the place. It was gross. I didn't want to be there. The man lives in a cave. And this is exactly what you'd expect from a cave creature. Evil, evil man. He's radicalizing all of us. You guys can sit out there and blame other people. I know a lot of the times they sit there and say that people like Nick Fuentes has like a negative effect on the younger generation. No, it's not Nick Fuentes. It's Lindsey Graham. It's watching him speak. It's watching our country sacrifice. And you heard President Trump when they kicked off this war in Iran. We're going to lose some lives, as if that's acceptable. And so far we're up to what? 8 Americans have died since this all started. I'm not willing to sacrifice another 8 Americans for any of this. If you want to stop the Islamic threat, guess how you do it? You stop letting them into our country. You stop going around. You stop blowing up these Middle Eastern countries and then saying, oh, well, now we have a new sea of refugees. You need housing. Let's bring them all in. Shuffle them in. Bring them into the military bases. If we truly cared about the preservation of American lives, we would stop this nonsense. It's so infuriating to see. We haven't learned our lessons. And yesterday I cringed because President Trump, I can't remember the exact quote, but he made a comment during the press conference that he held yesterday. And it was that they're going to build up Iran. That's going to be a new country. Folks, it's everything I remember growing up around. When we sat there, we watched the wars that were going on in Afghanistan, in Iraq. Again, Afghanistan was warranted given 9/11, but again, that's why so many people are like, I think they allowed 9/11 to happen. And it's quite clear that there was enough intel coming in that they knew that there was a terrorist attack on the way, which later warranted the war in Afghanistan. This is why so many Americans don't trust the government. This is why we grew up in a world where we saw firsthand on how you don't have to trust your government, how you shouldn't trust your government, I should say. I love it. I love hearing people go out there and bash people like Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson, again, I'm not happy with his stance on obviously Islamists. But at least he's been consistent. When it comes to the war in Iraq, he was one of the very few on cable news advocating against it. And he was right. He was right. So this new generation of individuals who want nothing to do with the Middle East is self-inflicted. Based on all the horrible people right now who are leading us in Washington, D.C. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of them. And most of the horrible people, you're not going to see their names because they're behind the scenes pulling the strings. You know, Laura Ingraham, I've disagreed with her politically on certain things, but she did a pretty good job at questioning Ted Cruz yesterday on the show, because there was a report that dropped about how how Senator Lindsey Graham is coaching Benjamin Netanyahu on how to lobby for President Trump. And it's a report, but at this point, you probably just assume that it's true. Listen to clip three.
I want to ask about what the Wall Street Journal is reporting about your colleague, Senator Lindsey Graham. The journal is saying that Graham traveled several times to Israel in recent weeks to help make the case on Iran, meeting with members of the country's intelligence agency, spoke with Netanyahu, coaching him on how to lobby President Trump for action. Graham said that Netanyahu showed the president intel that persuaded President Trump to go ahead. Senator, I know you all talk to foreign leaders, and that happens routinely, but speaking to a foreign leader on the precipice of war and seeming to be lobbying or being an intermediary, which this seems to indicate, is that the right way to go?
Well, listen, Lindsey is passionate about defending America, and he is on the road a lot. He's talking to world leaders all over the world. There are times when I agree with Lindsey. There are times when I don't. But when it comes to
what about this? Well, what about this? I mean, this is something of a totally different level, is it not?
No, actually, when it comes to the threat Iran poses, Lindsey agrees they pose a major threat to America, and I agree they pose a major threat to America. Look, Lindsey and I disagreed on the Iraq War. He thought the Iraq War was a good idea. I thought the Iraq War was a mistake. I think Iran is fundamentally different because Saddam Hussein was not murdering Americans on the scale and level that Iran has been doing. Saddam Hussein was not funding Hamas and Hezbollah killing Americans. And President Trump acted boldly to take out a regime that had been killing Americans over and over.
But we're not disagreeing on that.
Yeah.
Our point is working with Netanyahu so closely to lobby President Trump, acting as an intermediary for a foreign country. Is that appropriate? That was my simple question. I'm not trying to be difficult here, but that's slightly unusual, is it not?
I agree with you on the other points. I don't think it's a fair characterization that Lindsey is an intermediary for Israel. And a lot of the critics say, oh, the war is all about Israel. Understand, it's not about Israel. It is about America. The reason President Trump acted is to defend America. There's a reason the Ayatollah referred to Israel as the little Satan, and America is the great Satan. I believe if the Ayatollah got
that.
A nuclear weapon, he would use it. Laura, if the Ayatollah could kill you and me right now, he would.
Yeah, I guess. Okay. Of course. But why the heck is Lindsey Graham meeting with world leaders? I mean, that's the focus here, right? She's literally focusing in on, why are we allowing this? Why is Lindsey Graham having this much authority right now over all of this? What's going on right now in the White House that has Lindsey Graham feeling very comfortable he could go out there on cable news and continue to advocate for other countries to join an alliance and for more Americans to die in the Middle East? What has him feeling so emboldened? That's a serious question that's worth answering. That's worth answering. Nobody voted for Lindsey Graham to be running the show. The American people definitely did not. And the president has completely distanced himself from the core base of individuals who wanted these wars to end. Now, again, they have given us a timeline as to what's going to happen in Iran, and I understand that they can't possibly give us that. But we also don't even know what the threat was that warranted all of this. I mean, this is crazy. This is crazy. The fact that Lindsey Graham thinks he has this much authority, and apparently he does, off of stirring the pot. This guy is so emboldened right now. And the fact that you don't hear Ted Cruz because he's too afraid to criticize his buddy over there. Why is Lindsey Graham meeting with world leaders? He is a U.S. senator. His constituents aren't in Israel. And it's just so infuriating. It's so infuriating. You know, Rob Barnes did a great job at outlining as to why this war with Iran is just not popular with the new additions to the MAGA movement in clip four. Take a listen.
Exactly to your point. I mean, you guys would be on top of it more than others. I remember watching that, the young generation, the new MAGA part of the coalition. A lot of them were African-American male voters, Hispanic voters, mm-hmm. and young people, disproportionately millennials and Zoomers, that joined the Trump coalition in 2024 that weren't part of it before, that boosted us from, you know, being -4 to +1 in the national vote, that allowed for the sweep of the swing states, that allowed for some coattails in the House and the Senate, to have the House and the Senate. Senate. So that's what's at danger of losing. Young voters do not support this conflict. They don't want us involved in foreign conflicts, period. So the sooner the president can bring us home, the better. Similar, and then the other vote is the historic anti-war vote, disproportionately in rural and working class areas in the industrial and rural Midwest, and amongst Hispanic voters in the Southwest, which were bleeding out badly, as we saw from the Texas primary results, and then the libertarian vote. And it's so, just, you can't cut off this many parts of your coalition and survive.
Well, and so in the next segment, Robert, I want to paint a rosier picture if there is one. I want to talk about this because
honestly, folks, I think Robert Barnes is spot on with all of this. He is alienating a very key part of all of this, his base, of course. And I don't think the president even realizes it. I know, and I told you guys this yesterday, I know what's going on behind the scenes. They're doing their very best to build a bubble around him. And even the pollsters, the ones that you and I both liked and both thought were fair and balanced, they're trying to tip the scale so that these are more favorable for whatever their agenda is with President Trump. You can't trust anything anymore. Literally nothing. Literally nothing. Their efforts to control this White House is the same thing as the Auto Pen scandal, folks. I don't see a difference right now. I don't see a difference. I know it's probably radical for a lot of folks at home, but the reality of it is it's very, very clear that they're trying their best. And I don't think that President Trump, his health is declining, but I will say that I think it's quite obvious that they're doing their best to manipulate the president to get their agenda pushed through. Their agenda is obviously radical. Their agenda is obviously anti-America first. And they're pretending like he has no idea. I mean, the guy has no time on his hands. He's a very busy man. Whatever you put in front of him, he's going to have to believe. He's not out there shaking hands and interacting with average Americans. Obviously, every now and then for a photo opportunity, and that's not a jab at him, but you guys have seen him popping in and out of fast food restaurants. I love those videos, but he's not pulling people aside and having one-on-one conversations with them. Susie Wiles would never let that happen. And it's not just that, folks. We now have this massive threat that's looming right now. I don't know if you saw this. I'm going to go over two big things here, then I want to play this clip for you. JetBlue yesterday decided to ground, or this morning, I should say, decided to ground its flights, all of its flights. Now, again, we don't know the specific details to this, but this is the reason why I find it to be very important to report on what specifically happened today. The FAA briefly grounded all JetBlue flights earlier this morning after the agency said the airline had requested the stop. Now, soon after that announcement came, the issue that they were telling the FAA about apparently was resolved. And they refer to it as a brief system outage. And they won't give us any details on it. The FAA confirmed that ground stop has been lifted. That is the very latest. But what does that mean? Well, I know they don't want to cause panic. But if I had to assume what that means, possibly a cyber attack. Because the reason why I'm saying that is yesterday, too, Signal, that's the messaging app, also posted on X yesterday that there is a phishing attack that's going on right now. They're trying to get your passwords. They're trying to hack into your devices. But it's mainly government officials and journalists. Those are the reports that they're dropping. And it's not just that, too. And I always hate when I see the word Russian because I never actually believe anything that says the word Russian in front of it because I do believe that they've used this as propaganda. It's their own fault. But there are reports that Russian hackers also went after the WhatsApp app and Signal. Now, do I believe it's Russian? Might be, I've been telling you, might be Iranian. They do have a very sophisticated hacker group. I think they're like second when it comes to all of that. So this is something that should be on your radar. I don't think they're going to want to tell the American people if they've been hacked. You know, so many times these banks itself won't reveal this information to you because they don't want to create panic. They don't want people to panic about where their money's going and how it could possibly be stolen by foreign bad actors. Often it's held hostage and they're forced to pay off ransoms in crypto. Now, again, my conspiracy I'm throwing out there. We all know that there's a heightened threat when it comes to all of this. In fact, Sarah Adams, who I highly respect, in clip 5 outlines that potential threat. Take a listen.
Iran has previously targeted U.S. banks, infrastructure, and then, of course, different networks run by the U.S. government. We've all seen again and again phishing campaigns spike with geopolitical crisis. Everyone takes advantage at this time, and just don't be someone they take advantage of. You don't want to be the calculus or the person who opened the door and let this foreign adversary into your place of work. You need to be part of the defense against a cyber attack. So if you're working right now in the government, you're in the military, don't click any unfamiliar emails right now, right? Off limits. Don't open any unknown attachments. Anyone new is reaching out to you on LinkedIn right now, ignore the requests. You don't have to respond to everyone.
Very, very useful information, because we've seen it happen before. Time and time again, they're trying their very best to go out there and hack into your devices. So keep that in the back of your minds, folks. This is going to be, I think it's going to be an elevated threat at this point. I know the government's warning people about this. As soon as they launched their attacks on Iran, I was warning the American people about this. Why? Well, because DHS right now is in a partial shutdown, which affects CISA. Now, CISA is not a group that I would advocate for, an agency that I'd advocate for, because I know what they did during the 2020 election and their big censorship push. But folks, we're definitely in trouble here when it comes to all of this. And it's not fear-mongering. It's meant to make you prepare. Prepare for the worst. These hackers are going to try their very best to go after our banks and other entities. And it's something that's very, very important for the American people to wrap their minds around. Again, there's no direct link. I'm just kind of floating it out there that JetBlue might have dealt with some hacking situation. But it's very, very likely. It's very, very likely. They're going to try to cripple us. And so you got to be aware of everything. Be aware of everything. I'm going to get to a couple other stories in a little bit. Did you guys see this? The CNN headline had me cracking up. CNN on Twitter today decided their very best to dance around the fact that there was Islamic terrorists in New York City. Two Pennsylvania teenagers crossed into New York City Saturday morning for what could have been a normal day, enjoying the city during abnormally warm weather. You know, they're describing the two alleged jihadists who allegedly threw homemade bombs with nails, screws, other things in them, into a crowd of anti-Muslim invader protesters. That's what CNN posted on Twitter today. They're doing their very best to dance around the truth. They don't want you to know that these were jihadists. These were individuals, according to PD, are saying that these were individuals who openly admitted to being inspired by ISIS. That is what CNN doesn't want you knowing about. They're playing this little word game. I like to call it a word salad gymnastics. That's a new thing. I don't know. It's a little long, a little lengthy. But we'll see if it sticks. Folks, if you haven't done so already, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. We have 60% off the America 250 t-shirts. That's up on the site right now, 60% off. That means it's $14.99 over at thealexjonesstore.com. We also have our March mega sale going on right now. Stop what you're doing and head on over to the shop.
As InfoWars not delivered. In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the InfoWar continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalists, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried ultramethylene blue or our bovine colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you become a VIP for $30 a month, canceling time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it recurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click in your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet, up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats, 10% off on things like the collectible knives, and up to 40% off on supplements like Ultramethylene Blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at TheAltruistWar.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Again, I salute you and thank you. Take action now.
With us today. Oh man, when you dig in through all of the information about how bad the lawfare was under the Biden regime, you find a lot. You find a lot. And unfortunately, there's not much being done. I mean, I'm not going to oversell it. There's not much being done. All we're doing is getting these little snippets of, wow, look how bad things were. Look at what they did. All right, well, that's it. It's rage bait. It's rage bait. John Solomon dishes it out too as well. And he's got a great report that he just dropped in clip six in regards to how the deep state operatives targeted President Trump and his allies. Take a listen.
Hang on. You're telling me that they've found cash in the team? And I assume you're telling me they found a fourth targeting of President Trump by the deep state?
Yeah, and it's a very serious one because it seems to involve speech delimiters. In other words, if you said something or you spoke a certain way about a certain issue, you potentially were deemed a national security threat to the United States and you were put under an assessment and potentially criminal investigation. So I learned of this operation because I was targeted in 2022. I had to cooperate with the Justice Department when the Justice Department and I talked, they realized that their entire theory of the case was ludicrous. But as a result of that, I've been on a 2.5-3 year mission to get these documents, to get the truth out about what happened. Recently, FBI agents working for Kash Patel found this operation, found the skiff that it was hidden, found the code word name for it, found the prohibited access files. So one of the things that Chris Ray's people did is they would start these political investigations targeting Trump or even someone else. They would keep it off the books. Most people could not see it in the FBI Sentinel system. This one was one of those well hidden as a result of some senior leadership that worked around Kash Patel. You know, there were people that were in this era that knew what was going on. In some cases, maybe even been required to work on certain things. They knew what was going on, and they've been guiding Kash Patel to these records and helping him find these records in the labyrinth of secrecy that Chris Ray's FBI created. So these senior executives are really helping uncover some really jaw-dropping stuff. And I think in the next couple of days, people will see that as well.
Yeah, I mean, listen, folks, we keep hearing this story time and time again that this is what they were doing behind the scenes. We know this. I mean, I was the one who reported to you guys exclusively when Tulsi Gabbard was added to the TSA terror watch list. You know, other outlets had the information. They refused to run it. I had the cojones to do just that because they didn't want to go after these deep state operatives. They knew exactly what was going to happen if they decided to swing first. They're all a bunch of cowards. But let me tell you something. All the people who complied over at the FBI with whatever the regime was telling them to do, they are too cowards. This is the reason why it's so important to push back. This is why it's so important to stick together. Because when we saw things that were happening behind the scenes, when I saw that shortly after Tulsi Gabbard went on Fox and was outlining how Kamala Harris was a threat to this country, and then she was quickly the next day added to a TSA terror watch list, we knew we had to go forward with this. I knew I had to call Tulsi Gabbard's team to let them know before reporting this. And again, that was brought to you by Brave Whistleblowers, who came forward and reached out. We connected them to the law firm that was representing them so they weren't going to get in legal trouble. And then we brought you the story. It's one of the many layers to the Biden regime's corruption. And again, no one's being held accountable. No one. No one. And we're well over 1 year into this, and still, I got nothing for you. No surprise there. Folks, if you haven't done so already, head on over right now, theoxjonesstore.com. The t-shirts, America 250 shirts, well, those are on sale right now. They're the limited edition shirts that are 60% off right now. They're normally about $40, but they're actually $14.99. So you got to stop what you're doing. Head on over to theoxjonesstore.com and make sure you snag this before it's too late. This sale ends on Friday. Now, it's not just that. We also have our March mega sale going on right now. It's up to 40% off on some of your favorite supplements, which include MK Ultra, CMOS gummies, Life Force, Ultimate Burn, NAD+, and Methylene Blue as well. Head on over right now, thealkajonestore.com.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks. You still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have Dodge for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations. So I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March mega sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at theauctionstore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on board with us today. You know, there's many layers to federal overreach and our government agencies overreaching and going above and beyond their authority. And I thought this was interesting. You guys know we have Anne VanderSteel on the show quite often. Well, she's got a book that's coming out, and it's detailing the overreach that goes on with CPS. But it's not just her. It's also her co-author, Maureen Steele, who's joining us right now. And I'm excited to have Maureen on the program today to walk us through their latest book. It's the CPS Pipeline, State-Sanctioned Kidnapping. Now, this is going to be really interesting, folks, because there's numbers that I didn't even know, and I'm excited to have Maureen on right now joining us because, you know, Anne VanderSteel told me that CPS gets about $81 billion annually. She also told me that the U.S. Child Welfare Services, the amount of the kids that they actually have, it's a little less than a half a million right now currently in the foster care systems. I believe the last that last data came out back in 2019, but Maureen knows it better than I do, and she's joining us now to discuss what's going on behind the scenes over at CPS. And it's an honor to have you the program today. Thank you for being here. You know, you and Anne put this book together, and it looks like a great read, and I'm really excited for this one. You guys are walking us through the corruption that's going on behind the scenes over at Child Protective Services. Help us out with that one a little bit. What was some of the most outrageous information that you found throughout your investigation?
Well, obviously the numbers, you know, the Adoption and Safe Families Act, Brianna, that was put together by Hillary Clinton back in the 90s and signed into law by Bill Clinton, that really is what monetized this whole system. And this is really when it really started going sideways. So for me, learning that it's an industry, you know, an $80 billion a year industry is what it is. And it chews up and it devours families and it traffics children. For me, that was staggering. And then also talking to some of the CPS whistleblowers, our next book is about whistleblowers and, the behind the scenes information that they've given us. And one of them is that they are taught to, suppress abuse information when it comes to foster care. So they'll take your children off of false allegations from good families, put the children in foster homes where they're abused. And then when that abuse comes to light, they are taught to suppress that. So that for me, was the most astonishing and, disheartening and disgusting and just alarming. Our children are getting, devoured by an agency that, you know, is there to help. And, you know, they're not helping at all. This is a system designed to, you know, eat them alive.
Yeah. Well, I kind of want to walk through all of this because obviously there are some parents that are unfit to be parents and there needs to sometimes be the intervention of those kids being pulled out of the homes. But there are the cases that you just kind of detailed and walked us through and it's not necessary that these parents need to lose custody of their children. Have you spoken to these parents that have been in the custody battle with CPS? What's some of the details behind that, those cases?
Well, there's so many so many cases and there's so many different circumstances that children are taken in. But what is consistent across the board is family courts, just denial of due process. Family courts in and of themselves, right on their face, are unconstitutional. They're sealed. There's no jury of your peers. You can't remove someone's property without a trial by jury. They're taking your child, your most precious possession, your DNA, without even a hearing, all based on hearsay. There's no other courts that accept hearsay. CPS will remove your child with no hearsay, all based on lies. And you know, your neighbor doesn't like that you move the fence, and they're going to call CPS on you. And at that moment, your life instantly becomes a living hell, and you're going to be involved in it for a minimum of a year, maybe years. Maybe you'll never see your child again. But best case scenario, it's usually about a year till you get your child back. But the damage is done. That breaks the mother-child bond, the family bond. It traumatizes the children to a point that the child they took is not the same child you're getting back. That child now has been, you know, irreparably emotionally harmed. And that's the other piece that isn't, that we don't touch on in this book, but I will be doing it in subsequent books. The piece of the neurological damage that's caused from children in deep trauma, brains simply don't form right anymore. So not only is CPS an agency that isn't helping, it's an agency that's actively causing harm. And to just to put this in a little bit of perspective, Brianna, that you mentioned, you know, there are some children that need to be removed. Agreed, but that is few and far between. 85% of all the complaints that come into CPS are unfounded. They will take those kids and then they'll hold on to them for a year and then decide it was unfounded. And no one is ever held accountable for that. There's no punishment for that. Parents just go through hell. They lose hundreds of thousands of dollars trying to fight this. They have to deal with the stigma of it for the rest of their lives. You know, that is a terrible success rate. In Boston, Massachusetts right now, 1% of, you know, the over a million children in a very small state like that that are involved with CPS, 1% have been taken legally, lawfully, and for just cause. That is a failed system, not a failing system, a failed system.
Yeah, Maureen, I kind of want to dive into the numbers a little bit because I think it's interesting in the book. Again, this is the CPS pipeline book that you guys are releasing right now, and it's available on Amazon for our audience if you want to take a deep dive into this. But specifically, you're talking about the financial incentives also that are involved in all of this. Can you walk us through what those might be?
Sure. Chapter 3 of the book discusses the financial incentives. And like I said, it was the Adoption and Safe Families Act that really brought this forward, you know, really incentivized and monetized children's heads. But, you know, the adoption bonuses came out, and I actually wrote down some of the figures so I wouldn't get them wrong. Texas got $9.4 million in 2020. Florida got $8.7 million, and Arizona got $6.1 million. And this was extra bonuses for adopting children out. And that's what Adoption and Safe Families Act did. It narrowed that window when you take a child to, you know, letting the parents jump through all the hoops that CPS sets for them. They don't give the parents enough time to do that. And of course, these classes are expensive. Parenting classes, you know, child visitation centers, all of this stuff costs thousands of dollars. You have all these court hearings. You're trying to work to pay for these classes. And so parents miss things, and then your child is just gone. So they set you up to fail. In 2023, for another example, New Jersey allocated $300 million to private contractors. And so when I say private contractors, that would be you know, your county social workers, you know, therapists, doctors that work there, these parasitic agencies that work around CPS. They earmark $300 million for that. So in this system, there's no one incentivized to say, oh, Maureen Steele, she's a great mom. Give her kids back. There's nothing here. Everyone is incentivized to find something wrong with you to hold on to your children. And they keep lowering the threshold for that. It's not that this child has been neglected and beaten and abused and starved. And if we don't remove this child, death is imminent here. That's not why they remove them. They'll remove them because, well, we did a documentary called Taken State-Sanctioned Kidnapping. And this is the Rivera case, and this is a very compelling case. A nine-month-old was brought in for a nine-month well child visit. We're all parents. We know, you know, you take your kid in, you're a good mom. See, they're growing properly. They're developing properly. They're, you know, what percentile, growth percentile they're in. And this Dr. Gohafar at Fitchburg Pediatrics said you need to give him a vitamin K shot, which they had already refused at birth. The father said, no, we already refused it at delivery. There's no blood clotting problem with this child. And he said, if you don't get it and you're neglectful, I'm going to file a 51A on you with CPS. And he followed through on that. That family lost all five of their children for 10 months. And we followed that story. We did a documentary on it. And it's a harrowing story. And it just destroyed this family for 10 months. These kids are undoubtedly still traumatized by this. When you lose the fact that your parents can't protect you, and as parents, you can't protect your children, you are absolutely helpless up against this machine. And that's what Ann and I are here to stop. That's why we came up with the United Law Coalition, comprised of hundreds of lawyers across the country, to help push back on these judges, CPS workers, and these parasitic organizations that falsify records. That was another shock, Brianna, to have piles of CPS documents. The Rivera case is one example. All throughout their own records, their internal notes, they're writing that the father, Izzy Rivera, had a serious mental health problem, not a mental health concern, a serious mental health problem. They keep saying that, yet they never define what it is. Like, he's schizophrenic, he's, you know, bipolar, what is it? And they never define it. And so I had asked Izzy when I finally got all these notes and I read them, I said, Izzy, have you ever been diagnosed with a mental health disorder? He goes, Maureen, I've never even been to a therapist. He was a life coach. You know, so they lie on these so they can go to court and they can get ex parte orders from judges that don't do any digging. They just rubber stamp whatever the agency puts in front of them and says, take those kids. And, this is the Rivera family just popped up. It's a beautiful family. And we also have, you know, a harrowing audio the mother sent us, their oldest son, who was 10 when he was taken, screaming and crying. And it's the most heart-wrenching audio you could ever possibly hear. Mommy, mommy, take me home. Mommy, why am I here? Mom! And these parents can't do anything. And if you're a parent yourself and you hear your child screaming for help, mommy, come get me, to not be able to do it, to have to tell your child, I can't, they don't understand why, and neither do the parents, because this is a good family, and their rights were violated, their due process was violated. This case in particular crossed state lines. They went to Texas to try to get away from the harassment. They had never been served that the children were being taken. And again, they lied on paperwork and told Texas that these parents were abusive and had stolen the kids. How can you steal your own kids? And so because this agency is so powerful, and there's so many other agencies that are involved, including sheriffs and law enforcement, that just do whatever CPS tells them to do and violate their own oaths because they're supposed to be upholding our rights, not, you know, in being in cahoots with an agency to violate our rights. You know, they just assist in, you know, in the destruction of the American family. And the American family is the backbone of society. And, you know, you can see where our society is right now. It's not in a good place. And so we need to restore the family. We certainly cannot make America great again without having, you know, the American family great again.
Yeah. Well, Maureen, I think most Americans could get behind that, because that is something that is one of our core issues here, especially on this show, is trying our very best to restore the American family. Because, again, we were under attack for so many generations, even before my lifetime. And now we're watching it as it's endless. I mean, most parents sadly have to work two jobs or multiple jobs. They're never home. There's no family dinners. I mean, that's something that we grew up in my house. I'm one of seven kids. Mm-hmm. We grew up every day. My dad would come home from work. We'd all sit at the table. We'd eat dinner together. No phones, no nothing. And sadly, that's something that's just not practiced all around the country. And I think that's having a drastic effect on those other kids who are being raised in this country right now. And it's really devastating to watch. You know, Maureen, I kind of want to end on like a happier note. How do we fix this issue? What can parents at home do? But most importantly, how do we fix the institution itself? Because if someone, let's say, if there's a child out there who has a mother who's an avid drug user, an alcoholic, abusive, you do kind of want an intervention there. But again, there's a lot of steps that needs to take place before you get to that point, because you don't want to cause harm to the child's development. So how do we resolve all of this?
Sure. I think it all needs to go back to the states. I think a CPS needs to be abolished. Mm-hmm. It's too big. It's too corrupt. And family courts need to be abolished. What we need is, we need the village back. You know, we need families back. I mean, if you have an adult child who, you know, has children and your adult child has a drinking problem, I mean, they need help. They need advocacy. They need to get into AA. They need to go detox. They need support. They don't need their child ripped from them. And again, just because a parent is an alcoholic or, their kids are outside playing without a jacket, maybe they don't have money for a jacket. What CPS will do is spend hundreds of thousands of dollars of our tax money taking a child, putting them in foster care, traumatizing that child, devastating that child to a point where, as an adult, they probably won't be a functioning member of society, when they just could have bought a jacket, just help mom, send in a therapist to help mom, sober up. And so, that should be an absolute last resort, removing a child from a home. And if you have to do it, it absolutely should go to grandma, grandpa, an aunt, a trusted friend, a neighbor, to keep the child safe, but still with familiar people, not with strangers, during COVID, Brianna, this is another staggering figure. When they did emergency removals of children, they were paying over $2,000 a night to put children in foster care. So these foster parents, you'd like to think some of them are doing it, out of goodness and to help children and from the bottom of their heart. But unfortunately, as I said earlier, when you start monetizing things, people are doing it for the money and the children aren't given the care that they deserve and need, especially in a traumatic situation that they're in, just being removed from your home and from your parents, from a school, from a state. Sometimes they'll cross state lines, which again is a total deterrent to reunifying that family, because the children now don't even see their parents to visit. So what we need to do is abolish it. We need accountability. And I know we talk about that all the time in this country, but that's what needs to happen. When you are violating people's rights, under color of law, removing their rights under color of law, that's a crime. And, people need to be prosecuted for that crime. Falsifying records is a crime. And everyone just looks the other way on this. Stripping people of their unalienable rights is a crime, and that can't be let go. So that's where we are with the United Law Coalition. We want to bring lawsuits, and we are bringing lawsuits. We have a federal lawsuit in Massachusetts. That's where we're starting. This Rivera case was the impetus for that, to go after these people in their personal and professional capacities for deprivation of rights under color of law and falsifying records. You simply can't do it. So without the accountability piece, it isn't going to change. And people need to educate themselves. Buy our book, CPS Pipeline, State Sanctioned Kidnapping. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it at Barnes & Noble. It's written in a way that it is an interesting read. It is a quick read. It's like a primer to get people to understand what's happening. You can do a deeper dive on it later. But we wrote it so that it's just a quick, easy read, and it gives people the information very quickly and in a manner in which it's easy to digest. It's still hard to read because it's so disturbing that we as a nation could get to this place where our agencies are literally stealing our children out from under us, and our justice system is aiding in that. And I often say that these family law attorneys are nothing but criminals in black robes, and I believe that. I believe that's what every single one of them is. They know they're depriving people of their rights. They know they're rubber stamping, you know, what an agency is saying without looking into it. And the Chevron deference was overturned in July of 2023, and they're not allowed to do that anymore, and they just ignore it. So, you know, we need to get better at supporting each other and helping each other. And towns and states need to come up with, you know, we need to come up with better solutions than CPS to aid our neighbors and our families when they are having a family crisis. Because CPS is not the answer. That is causing more harm and more problems. And it's feeding the beast, feeding into that money making machine, that we've really learned that most of our agencies are involved in.
Yeah. Well, Maureen, the book is called The CPS Pipeline, it's state sanctioned kidnapping. That's available right now on Amazon for folks at home who want to make sure you grab yourself a copy. And again, it is co-authored by Ann Vandersteel, Christopher Burns, as well as Maureen Steele. Maureen, thank you for joining us today. Thank you for bringing us information. We greatly appreciate it, of course. So thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Brianna.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. Folks, again, make sure you grab that book on Amazon if you're interested in learning more about CPS and the internal corruption going on there. I learned a lot. And I learned a lot there from both Maureen and Ann. So it's an honor, of course, to have her on the program today. All right. I want to bounce around a little bit and bring you some other news. It looks like President Trump has officially rejected former President Joe Biden is how they put it, the assertion of the executive privilege over a set of documents requested by the Senate committees. And it's a part of the multi-layered investigations going on right now. In a letter to the White House counsel, to the National Archives and Records, Trump determined that upholding the privilege claim is not in the best interest of the United States and directed the release of the material to Congress. Now, specifically, I'm looking to see what they're talking about here in regards to, so it has to do with a dispute of the records regarding the probe that's going on right now into Joe Biden's health, his cognitive decline, the cover-up itself, including the AutoPen scandal, as well as Biden's family financial dealings. So those are the documents that the Trump administration will not provide executive privilege over, which is fair because, you know what, F them. You know, when it was Trump, Joe Biden had no problem throwing him under the bus for his political persecution and not allowing him to insert privilege in any of that, and had no problem handing over that information, which later resulted in the lawfare that you saw taking place all across the country. So not surprised there. Folks, I actually just got an update, and I just posted it quickly over on X in regards to that CNN post that I was talking about. Now, CNN went around using the term Islamic terrorist, and they wrote this, like, nice little fluffy thing about how those two Islamists, the alleged Islamists, we should say, who were allegedly threw two homemade explosive devices into an anti-Muslim invasion crowd of protesters. Well, they decided to, like, make it as fluffy as possible and just go around the fact that the authorities are currently saying that this was an ISIS-inspired attack, went completely around all of it. Now they've officially deleted that tweet, and CNN came out and said a post regarding two individuals arrested for throwing homemade bombs outside of a New York City protest, or alluding to the one that happened at Madani's home, which belongs to the people, not him, failed to reflect the gravity of the incidents. And therefore, due to their editorial standards, whatever those are these days, they're required to report on it fairly, I guess they want to say, and then also they deleted it. I mean, absolute hot mess, absolute garbage coming out of CNN. They obviously knew what they were doing. This was all intentional, and they're over here sitting here pretending like, oh, just deleted it. We're trying to be transparent, folks. Yeah, transparency doesn't exist over at CNN. They're all a bunch of liberal hacks trying their very best to destroy this country. So it makes sense, the fact that they're not going to tell, even in their correction, their audience, that these were alleged Islamic-inspired terror attacks. Again, these individuals, according to authorities, traveled outside of the United States, Saudi Arabia, and I believe it was Turkey was the other country that they went to, where they became inspired by ISIS. Again, those are their reports. But CNN's not going to tell you that. Because why would you want to piss off your own fellow jihadists? All right, folks, we got more to discuss in just a moment. We got a lot to dive into regarding the DHS partial shutdown that's going on right now. If you're heading to the airport, well, you're going to want to watch this because there's a lot that I have to warn you about right now as you head in to possibly sit on those TSA lines. In the meantime, though, head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com. We have our March mega sale going on today, up to 40% off on all of your favorite supplements over at the shop. Plus, for a limited time only, it ends on Friday, we have 60% off the America 250 t-shirts going on right now over at thealexjonesstore.com.
I'm making this announcement on Tuesday, March 3rd, 2026. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March Mega Sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet. Up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats. 10% off on things like the collectible knives. And up to 40% off on supplements like Ultramethylene Blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. These are incredible products. You've seen the rave reviews. You've seen the five-star reviews. These are the very best game-changing supplements available, period. Again, I only sell things that really work because I want you to get them and I want you to love them. We now have an over 90% reorder on the supplements on the site. No one in that industry has it because the products are so good, and obviously you're loyal as well. And I thank you so much for keeping us on the air. We're changing the world. We're battling the globalists. We are having the greatest effect together. That's all of us against the new world order we've ever had. And it's all because of your support of my broadcast and other broadcasts like it. But regardless, the enemy recognizes that InfoWars is the tip of the spear. And the bad guys are continuing, just read the newspapers, try to shut us down as early as late March. We're battling them in court, but it looks like this could be the end. But that's okay, because the info war belongs to the people. The info war is about telling the truth and countering the lies of the globalists. And the AlexJonesStore.com is not owned by me. It's owned by Bigley. The backup Alex Jones Network that's ready is not owned by me. It's owned by them, and I'm going to work for them. And so as long as you support the sponsor, no matter what happens to InfoWars, TheAlexJonesStore.com can keep us on the air. So right now, your purchase at TheAlexJonesStore.com keeps InfoWars going, pays the payroll, the bandwidth, the satellites, all of it. But as soon as InfoWars shuts down, it's more critical than ever that you support TheAlexJonesStore.com because it will move forward into the future as our main sponsor. But regardless, this is a win-win. Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or, you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the info war continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalists, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried Ultramethylene Blue or our Bovine Colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you should become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it recurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers. And with one click in your profile, you cancel any time for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at thealexjonesstore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Again, I salute you and thank you. Take action now.
Methylene Blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am, and the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and Methylene Blue. Get it while you can.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all here with us right now. All right, we got a lot more to dive into. I'm really excited for the third hour of the program, though. In case you didn't know, Raheem Kassam will be joining us in a little bit, third hour of the program. Also, Sonia Lobosco. It's going to be my John Cornyn hour of the program. There's so much to dig into regarding Cornyn and how much of a horrible human being he is. So I look forward to talking about that with both of them. Now, both are doing incredible work. As many of you know, we have Sonia on the program quite often. And Sonia actually was trying to get legislation pushed through on a federal level to protect law enforcement after five Dallas police officers were assassinated here in Texas. It was obviously something that caught headlines. I believe it's been over a decade now. She actually worked with Cornyn's office and met with John Cornyn. And, well, you'll be surprised as to how that experience went for her. She'll be joining me to expose just that. Also, Raheem Kassam has done an incredible job over at the National Pulse. Can't even talk today. The National Pulse exposing. It's no different than any other day. Exposing the truth in regards to Cornyn and the rhinos behind him trying to push him forward as President Trump's pick for the U.S. Senate here in Texas. It's a lot going on. We'll dive into it in a second, but that's the third hour of the program. But there's still more that I want to talk about. Specifically, though, I want to focus in on this. The SAVE Act, obviously, it's the Save America Act. President Trump has been hyper-focused on pushing it through, and that's why John Cornyn and those of his rhino allies over in the Senate won't put it up for a vote as of yet. They're actually trying their very best to hold it up because they want the president to back Cornyn. Cornyn, someone who's never backed President Trump, actually bashes him all the time. It's like endless with the knife turning in the back of President Trump when it comes to John Cornyn. But now he needs a favor, and so they're willing to hold out as much as possible because they don't want to lose to Ken Paxton. Now, those rhinos in the Senate are afraid of Ken Paxton because Ken Paxton's a rhino hunter. I mean, there's no other way to put it. That guy goes out there all the time, files these lawsuits against these big corporations that are scumbags, and challenges them constantly. So they don't want him in the U.S. Senate. But Texans do. And so right now we have a group of individuals trying to tip the endorsement scale when it comes to President Trump. But I want to walk you through it because they're lying to you about the Save America Act. And Jimmy Kimmel, who's not a very funny person, but he claims to be a comedian, he likes to go out there and push those same lies. That's the reason why he's still on air. You know, if you comply with the deep state operatives and their mission, they will allow you to have a cable news show or a cable show that even though it's supposed to be a comedian hosting it, it's not actually funny. Take a listen to clip 8 and how Jimmy Kimmel is lying to the American people.
Trump wants to make it as difficult for Democrats to vote as he possibly can under the guise of stopping voter fraud, even though there is no meaningful voter fraud. There is no evidence that anyone can. More Americans were eaten by wolves last year than voted fraudulently. This is about fixing the election. He made a big mess in Iran. It looks like we bombed a school and he's lying about it. There are 3-hour lines at the airport because Democrats want ICE agents to follow the same rules every other law enforcement officer has to follow. His poll numbers are abysmal. The price of gas is going through the roof. And, of course, there's that little matter of those allegations in the Trump-Epstein files. And so to protect himself from losing the Senate and the House and probably getting impeached, he wants to change the rules of voting to make it more difficult for everyone, especially women, to vote. If this passes, you won't even be able to mail your ballots. And unless you're in the military, sick, disabled, or overseas, you will have to stand in a line to vote, even though he himself votes by mail.
Let's debunk the nonsense that's going on right now. We've got this photo of an individual who was actually just arrested for Jimmy Kimmel told he doesn't actually exist. This announcement coming from DHS yesterday. ICE and the FBI arrested Mohadi Sacco. He's an illegal alien who has been told to get the heck out of our country for quite some time now, up to 2 decades ago, and he refused to leave. Now, what does this all have to do with this? Why am I bringing him up? Well, he was just actually arrested and charged with voter fraud. Why? Well, because allegedly he was in Philadelphia and he decided to weigh in on our elections, the 2008 elections. So, yeah, he shouldn't be in this country in the first place. And it looks like, according to DHS, that he actually did vote in our elections. He is an illegal alien. He is one of the many examples of illegal aliens weighing in on our elections. So Jimmy Kimmel is going to tell you, oh, no, that's not true. That's not true. There's no voter fraud. But the reality of it is he's full of it. He knows he's full of it. And that's the reason why he won't have anyone on his show to dispute him. He's incapable of having an open debate and being able to back up his claims because, number one, the only reason why he's still on air is because he complies with the narrative. This is what happens. If you comply, if you don't push back, if you spew the lies the deep state wants you to push out there, you're safe. You still got to keep your cushy little job, even though your ratings are through, well, the ground. I don't even know how to describe that one. He is not someone who's funny. He doesn't pull in an audience. He's absolute garbage. And he continues to lie. And the lies were endless in that. The price of gas. Don't they love to talk about the price of gas going up now? Now, listen, I love a good cheap gas. I love good cheap gas. That's not even a proper sentence. I love cheap gas. But guess what, buddy? When gas prices were at their lowest lows, was Jimmy Kimmel talking about on his show? Absolutely not, because he can't give the president a single victory. Instead, though, he has to try to go out there and throw daggers at BS claims and hope something sticks. The gas price is going up. Yeah, it's a problem. But under Joe Biden, guess what? They were significantly higher. So shut up. Also, to sit there and talk about women. Women won't be able to vote. Women won't be able to, won't be the worst thing to happen in this country. But guess what? Women will be able to vote. Again, it's this fear-mongering campaign. They're hoping that whoever's watching their show is going to buy into all of this, create fear in the women, their female audience, I should say, in their hearts. Absolute garbage. And then he also mentions the Epstein files. Again, President Trump is not being named in the Epstein files with anything legitimate. It's all false claims that were politically motivated given the timeline they went to the FBI to report something that wasn't true. Those individuals should be arrested. I don't know why we haven't done that at least. But most importantly, when President Trump is mentioned in the Epstein files, he is one of the originators to go out there and push back against Epstein and try to have police, West Palm Beach police, go out there and arrest the guy. He actually helped build their case against Jeffrey Epstein. So Jimmy Kimmel doesn't want to be honest because, again, it doesn't fit the narrative. He has to go out there and pretend like President Trump is a pedophile. But we all know that's false. When it comes to accusing someone of being a predator, I would accuse, in my opinion, of course, Jimmy Kimmel to be a pedophile. I would say that he's a predator. But again, they don't want to talk about these things. Their names will be dropped in all of these big groups, right? But they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to align themselves with it. We all know that they have stronger ties to Jeffrey Epstein than President Trump ever did. And of course, that's not fact. That's opinion, Jimmy. Just in case you want to go out there and make legal claims. These people are absolute demons. And this is what they do. They try to sit out there and push this false narrative. False narrative. You know, I've posted the video of Jimmy Kimmel being an absolute creep to a woman who is just like sitting outside trying to enjoy the day. And he's behind her trying to grab her butt. Again, that's more of a predator than I've ever seen President Trump do. He is creepy. He is so creepy. But again, he gets to keep his career. Why? Because he aligns with these deep state operatives. That's the key point to all of this. You have to be funny, you have to pull in an audience. You don't actually have to have a quality show. Just sit up there and keep telling the lies that we tell you to tell. And there wasn't a single thing in all of that that you just saw that was actually laughable. But this is why they are able to stay on air. This is exactly why. So moral of the story is screw Jimmy Kimmel. All right, let's pivot a little bit. DHS is dealing with a partial shutdown. I've been trying to warn you about this for quite some time. Again, I'm not someone who's a fan of DHS, specifically TSA. When it comes to national security, yeah, that's the one thing the government's supposed to do. So any of the entities that promote that, which they tell you they do, but most of them don't. That's why I assume all the time. But specifically with TSA right now, a lot of their employees aren't being paid. And so it's resulting in those calling out. We'll get to that in a little second. But, you know, actually, let's dive into the let's dive into one of the reports that just came out. I'll tell you all about this. When it comes to the long TSA waits, there's a lot going on right now across the United States. They're warning flyers that you actually might have to deal with 3-hour TSA wait times. Now, I know that sounds absolutely insane, but that's what's going on right now at the airports. And of course, when you look through all of this, it's not really surprising. Because this is what Democrats wanted. They want to shut down DHS. And I don't know why, and I'm not going to blame it all on them, because guess what? Republicans shouldn't have allowed DHS to be partially funded. I mean, that was stupid, right? Because now you're going to put yourself in a situation where ICE is going to be held hostage. And it's exactly what they're doing. They don't want to fund ICE. And because ICE falls under DHS, they're now doing this partial shutdown. Now, my advice to DHS and to TSA was just shut down all the airports. Don't let anyone in. That is the quickest way to get over with all of this, especially given the fact that we've just launched this war with Iran. You might want to fund DHS. You might want to fund those who are trying to keep the homeland safe. Because what you see is happening with TSA right now. Well, TSA agents are calling out because they're not getting a paycheck. By the way, I think it's like the third time in the last 6 months that they've been held hostage in this shutdown. And again, I don't like TSA. It's also a little personal for me, of course, because I won my TSA lawsuit, which resulted in TSA now being forced to pay my legal fees. And they haven't paid back my lawyer. Why? Well, because they say they're in a partial shutdown. So they can't cough up the cash to pay my lawyer. My lawyer's a very nice guy. He should get his money. But again, it's one of the many layers to all of this. They want to keep this going. And actually, Wade Miller in Clip 7 does a great job at calling all of that out. Let's take a listen.
As we saw with Lyons' testimony in Congress about how cartels are targeting our federal agents, all it takes is one credible threat against them and to say, now, why do you want them to take their mask off? And that's why you're shutting down the government, to make our troops, our federal agents, put them in danger. And, you know, if any catastrophe happens, FEMA's in a bind. We're not going to have the funds to be able to operate and to go in and do life-saving activities at scale. So I think that their position becomes very quick, very weak, very quickly. And I think that the Trump administration knows that. And what they're basically going to say is, we just want to fund DHS at the levels that the Democrats have already approved previously. Why is this controversial? You want body cams? Fine. Like, we don't oppose body cams. But all of the rest of your arguments, it's political posturing. You're actually just trying to endanger our country. You're trying to endanger our federal agents. You're putting our national disaster preparedness at stake. You're putting our TSA security at risk, the Coast Guard. There's all sorts of operations that they are putting at risk. And why again? Because you don't want the law enforced. And all of these negative externalities are now occurring because of it. You know, stop your baby like whining, and let's be responsible and fund the government.
Yeah, I mean, Wade Miller's got it. He's got it. The reality of it is they're trying to hold DHS hostage, and I'm all on board. Get body cams. Let's fund it. Let's fund it. Because the vast majority of the time, I don't know why Democrats keep pushing for body cams, by the way. It doesn't weigh in the favor of their audience, their voters. It never does. It never does. And so, yeah, I'm all on board for this. In fact, I'd actually advocate for the FBI to have body cams. Those who are executing search warrants, but they always say, oh, we can't reveal our investigative steps that we take while we're executing warrants. I strongly disagree with that, especially given the fact that a lot of people have accused the FBI of planting evidence on them. Why not just show us? And even if you don't want to release it to the public, at least allow it to the courts. But again, it's one of the many layers of all of this. They are probably trying to push, and that's probably one of their main points, and I would 1,000% back it. Get DHS agents to wear body cam. It is completely fine. In fact, we saw when those two individuals were killed in Minnesota, we saw officers, agents pop out of the car and have to film from their phones. Now, by filming on their phones, one of those agents was actually able to prove the fact that, yeah, one of those left-wing terrorists actually did use their vehicle as a weapon. And thankfully, we have the footage to prove just that. So I'd give all these agents cameras. Now, the Senate Majority Leader, John Thune, is actually condemning Democrats and all of this. And this is usually what they do, right? Strongly worded letters in Clip 9. He's going out there and he's trying to go after them for the DHS shutdown. I blame Republicans just as much as Democrats. Take a listen now.
Mr. President, we are more than 3 weeks into the Democrats' DHS shutdown. And Democrats keep telling us that they're serious about funding this agency, but their actions speak louder than their words. Negotiations have been going now for well over a month. Democrats have sent two offers to the White House. Two offers that were basically the same. No compromise, no give and take, just take it or leave it. Then on Thursday, perhaps realizing that forcing tens of thousands of DHS employees to go without pay isn't great for their brand, Democrats made a new yet equally unserious proposal, and that is selectively funding certain DHS agencies. That's right. Democrats want to fund the parts of the Department of Homeland Security that they like and keep the rest shut down indefinitely. Now, Mr. President, this might come as news to Democrats, but the fact is that every part of the Department of Homeland Security is essential. As our colleague Senator Britt pointed out on Thursday, Democrats' plan would leave Homeland Security investigations in limbo. A lot of Americans might not know it, but Homeland Security investigations is responsible for some pretty serious law enforcement activities in this country. They look up child predators, drug dealers, terrorists. And then there's Customs and Border Protection, another agency that Democrats plan would leave in limbo. Now, most Americans interact with CBP officers when they come back to the United States from abroad. They're the people who check your passport. They're also the people who prevent illegal immigrants and contraband like drugs and weapons from crossing our borders and getting into our country. Under President Trump, and thanks to the hard work of these men and women, our borders secure. And illegal crossings have shrunk.
All right, so John Thune telling the American people that every entity within DHS is essential. I'd argue against that. DHS obviously was created after 9/11, and it's become an absolute swamp. And we all saw what they did, especially CISA, when it came to censoring Americans because they just didn't like their messaging. So I'd probably defund it a little bit. But when it comes to those who are actually doing the job that they're supposed to, yeah, we could definitely fund that. Folks, I want to pivot a little bit and take you to clip 19 because I was talking about this before. I saw that Lindsey Graham interview on Fox yesterday, and I couldn't believe what he had to say in regards to sending more Americans to the Middle East to die. Take a listen.
Up to our allies, step up, get our air bases out of Spain. They're not reliable. Move all those airplanes to a country that would let us use them when we're threatened by a regime like Iran. To our friends in Spain, men, you have lost your way. I don't want to do business with you anymore. I want our air bases out of Spain into a country that will let us use them. To our Arab friends, I've tried to help you construct a new Mideast. You need to up your game here. I can't go to South Carolina and say we're fighting and you won't publicly fight. What you're doing behind the scenes, that has to stop. The double dealing of the Arab world when it comes to this stuff needs to end. I go back to South Carolina. I'm asking them to send their sons and daughters over to the Mideast. What I want you to do in the Mideast, our friends in Saudi Arabia and other places, step forward and say, this is my fight too. I join America. I'm publicly involved in bringing this regime down. If you don't, you're making a great mistake and you're going to cut off the ability to have a better relationship with the United States. I say this as a friend.
He says it from a position of power, folks. He is challenging the president in all of this. And I don't even think the president even sees it. He sees himself as the leader. He's telling these countries that they have to speak to him. Who the heck does Lindsey Graham think he is? I'm just going to keep echoing that. I don't understand how emboldened this man has become. What is going on right now in the White House that has that guy thinking that he could go out there and pretend to be the president of the United States? Imagine a time where President Trump allows him to do just that. This is the problem. And then people know that he's the gatekeeper for the White House. And guess what they do? These countries will kneel to him. He's going out there and meeting with world leaders. Why? Because he's posturing himself as somebody who has pull within the White House. You can't allow people like this to exist. You can't allow Lindsey Graham to get away with this. You can't just sit here and pretend like that's acceptable. By the way, so to go back to South Carolina and tell people to keep bringing their kids in to the military so that he could sacrifice them to the Middle East, the bloodshed. The endless bloodshed. It's not going to end anytime soon. It's not going to end in any of our lifetimes. That's exactly what Lindsey Graham is trying to do. And it's pretty disgusting. And again, the White House not questioning any of this. But this is how it happens. You have to go through Lindsey Graham if you want anything to happen at the White House, apparently. All right, I want to talk about this. I don't know if you saw this. Over the weekend, there was a J6 plaque that was put up right now in Congress. I was detailing it for folks online over the weekend, and this is it. This is it. Obviously, it's brought to you by all the weak men and women, a part of the Republican Party. But it's also full of you know what. This is absolute garbage, right? Because why would you need a plaque for what happened on January 6th put up? We all know it was manufactured by the deep state operatives, again, who are controlling these institutions, the intel community. They wanted what happened. They wanted all of that. That's the exact reason why they won't give you specific details. They won't turn over specific documents. It's the reason why the J6 committee deleted everything before they departed. Because it was all a setup. But now these losers in the Senate, by the way, that plaque was backed by guess who? John Thune, who's apparently your Republican leader in the Senate, Mitch McConnell, and drum roll, please, John Cornyn. They all 100% supported it. In fact, they were also against President Trump pardoning J6ers. Absolute scumbags. What losers these people are. Such losers. Folks, there was a CIA document that has been brought back to the surface. It's a declassified document from February of 1951. And it reveals, it's a very detailed report, I would tell you that. I posted the actual document itself to my Twitter account if you'd like to look at that. But it reveals that the CIA was aware that there was a potential cure for cancer. Now get this, it maps out, it doesn't directly say ivermectin, so just to be as transparent as possible, it doesn't say that, but obviously ivermectin is used to go after parasites, and it details how that type of drug could be utilized to treat cancerous tumors. Now you've heard this conspiracy before, so again, this has been going on since 1951. The research done behind all of this. They say that the chemical compounds target both parasites and tumors effectively. So this is the interesting part in all of this. Because why? Because ivermectin, now again, I think ivermectin came around to be used on humans in 1970-ish. Don't quote me on that. But they've been telling us for quite some time that ivermectin cannot be used to treat cancer. Why? Because it's cheap. It's cheap. I want to briefly play this clip, clip 11 for you, that details how one doctor is using it to push back and to help cancer patients. Let's take a listen.
Cancer is no longer a death sentence. I'm Dr. William Mackis, a Canadian physician, board certified in nuclear medicine, radiology, and oncology. I run the world's largest ivermectin cancer clinic. Over the past 2 years, I've helped over 6,500 cancer patients with repurposed drugs like ivermectin, mebendazole, and fenbendazole. Chemotherapy can be very difficult on cancer patients, and some cancer patients really can't even handle chemotherapy. But those who can, they can really enhance their results by adding ivermectin. Over the past year, having treated over 6,000 cancer patients, there have been some incredible stories. We had a prostate cancer patient who was diagnosed with stage 4. You know, everybody knew it was a terminal case. The patient got an appointment with an oncologist. The best they were going to get was a palliative chemo to give them maybe a couple of extra months of life. But in Canada, at the same time, the patient also got an appointment for MAID, which stands for Medical Assistance in Dying. It's euthanasia. One of the family members got very upset at this and so started the patient on fenbendazole, which is almost identical to mebendazole, and then they added ivermectin to it as well. And after about 4 or 5 months, this patient that hadn't gone for their appointment for euthanasia became cancer-free. They went from stage 4 pancreatic cancer to being cancer-free. And so this was a life saved, and not just saved, but a patient who had really beaten cancer. In January of this year, Mel Gibson was on Joe Rogan's podcast and started talking about some of his friends who had stage 4 cancer and who were really in bad shape.
I have 3 friends. All 3 of them had stage 4 cancer. All 3 of them don't have cancer right now at all. And they had some serious stuff going on.
And what did they take?
They took some, what you've heard they've taken.
Ivermectin.
Fenbendazole.
Yeah, I'm hearing that a lot.
And for those Americans who are looking for an affordable treatment, this should be available over the counter now. Unfortunately, the FDA has not done what they should be doing. But on a state level, yes, you can buy ivermectin over the counter. We just need the FDA to do this damn job.
Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first 4 guys when they throw him in the ring, or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the InfoWar continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reasons it's such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalists, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried ultramethylene blue or our bovine colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it recurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click in your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on top of everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet. Up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats. 10% off on things like the collectible knives. And up to 40% off on supplements like ultramethylene blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March mega sale right now, running until the 17th at thealexjonesstore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Again, I salute you and thank you. Take action now.
Bosco is jumping back on with us. She's got an exclusive story she wants to tell you about in regards to John Cornyn. That's the Texas senator who is a little nervous these days that he might not get reelected back to the swamp because, well, no one likes him in Texas. But there's reasons for that. Like, this isn't just like he's kind of a mean person. No, he actually does nothing for Texans. He works more for the deep state operatives than Texans themselves. And we'll be walking you through just that because she had the not so pleasurable experience of having to work with his team in regards to passing legislation that would help law enforcement officers all around the country. So she'll be walking us through that. We'll also be joined by Raheem Kassam. Now, as many of you guys know, Raheem runs, he's the editor over at the National Pulse, and he's got a lot to talk about. He's been on the topic of John Cornyn. He's doing a great job. Him and I go back and forth with all of our finds. There's endless clips of Cornyn just being against the American people, being a swamp creature, being a rhino. There's so much content out there that it's really going to be hard for the White House to defend themselves if they get behind Cornyn. So again, we'll be talking about this with Raheem, and I look forward to it. But there's a lot there, a lot there. Speaking of that, let's talk about California for a second. You see, this is like a laughable story if it wasn't actual, in my opinion, the theft of donations. Jennifer Newsom, she is the wife of Gavin Newsom. There's a new report out there that she actually, and I had no idea that she runs a group that is supposed to go after gender discrimination and stereotypes. Ooh, whatever that means. But her company, Girls Club LLC, has apparently paid her out about $300,000 annually. Now, she also has apparently this, like, nonprofit, I'm guessing it is. And they've dished out about $3.7 million in the charity's annual income. That's a lot of money. Now, the reason why I think this is so concerning is, well, given the fact that Democrats don't seem to know what a woman is, how do you sit here and go over gender stereotypes and harmful norms? Through documentaries, by the way, they do this through documentaries and advocacy. What a noble cause. Noble, noble cause. Yeah, tell us how to be a little less sexist. It's just absolute stupidity. It's obviously a get-rich scheme. And yeah, but dish now millions. That's insane. Now, again, when you comb through all of it, this is the IRS filing, so it's just really interesting. But when you go through all of it specifically, apparently she earns from the nonprofit. She earns about $150,000 from that, plus the LLC for creator fees. Insane. Absolutely insane. But you know what's even more insane?
being the moron to donate to this cause. There are so many great nonprofits out there. If you're going to sit there and back someone with the last name Newsom, you're an absolute idiot. And most importantly, you deserve your money just to be stolen at that point. Are the taxes not high enough in California? You have all this disposable income? You could just toss it over to a Newsom? It's absolutely absurd. Absurd. All right, folks, we got more to dive into in just a second. So do not go anywhere. In the meantime, though, if you're going to head somewhere, I'd recommend the AlexJonesStore.com. Why? Well, it's because there's the March Mega Sale that's going on right now. It's up to 40% off of some of your favorite supplements over at the shop right now. That includes NAD+, Ultimate Burn, Life Force, CMOS, MK Ultra, and so many more of our supplements over at the AlexJonesStore.com. Plus, this is why you have to go there now. America's 250 shirt, the t-shirt, it's a limited edition shirt. It's right now $14.99. That's actually a really, really good deal. Why? Well, because that's 60% off. So stop what you're doing right now and head on over to the AlexJonesStore.com today and make sure you snag these shirts before we run out. And also make sure you snag a couple of your favorite supplements before we run out of those as well. Because again, it's while supplies last. You never know when that will end. All right, guys, thealexjonesstore.com is where you want to head to. If you haven't downloaded the app either, I don't know what you're waiting on. AlexJonesApp.com as well. Make sure you download it for your phone right now. Because you never know when that front door is going to shut. We're going to be moving over to our next operation. AlexJonesApp.com. Oh, sorry, AlexJonesApp.com.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks. You still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have dodged for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations. So I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultra-methylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robinson was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March Mega Sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all up here today. A lot going on in the third hour of the program. Raheem Kassam will be joining our show. He actually woke up for us. We're very thankful for that. He's not a morning person. I'm not a morning person either. But Raheem has been doing some incredible reporting, so I wanted to get him on the program today. And we look forward to having him on in just a little bit. He'll be joining us in like 25 minutes. But I wanted to get to this story first because I've been talking about it, and I know a lot of you at home are deeply concerned regards to the attacks that have been carried out by both Israel and the United States in Iran. So many of us have been wondering, well, what are we going to do about the sleeper cells here in the homeland? Well, President Trump was asked that directly yesterday during his press conference in clip 13. Take a listen.
And they've been trying for a long time. We've been very much on top of it. One of the things we have to do is get the Democrats to stop the Democrat shutdown, because, as you know, the apparatus that looks into that, Schumer and the Democrats have shut it down, which tells you they probably hate our country a lot. But the Democrats have to open that up. But we've got very, very good intelligence into that. We know a lot of different things that have happened that have been very bad. A lot of them came in during the Biden open border period. But we have them under, we're watching every single one of them. Yeah, we know a lot about them. The biggest problem we have is the Democrat shutdown. We know a lot about them. But the shutdown doesn't allow us to do what we have to do.
Now, I want to just put that in perspective a bit, because President Trump is saying we know a lot about them. But the reality of it is they're still in this country. Now, just take you back a couple of weeks ago when Kristi Noem, the DHS secretary, who has since been placed into another position, when she was testifying, she said that we can't find them. So can we find them, or are we watching them? Why are we watching them? Why aren't we arresting them? There's a lot here. Joining me to discuss my girl, Sonia Labosco. She's the executive director of the Air Marshal National Council. She's also a retired supervisor for the federal air marshal as well. She is an ally in this fight, and she spent years and years in law enforcement. So we look forward to having this conversation with her. I also got some John Cornyn questions I'm going to throw on her way in just a little bit. But, you know, first, Sonia, I want to talk about this because, you know, President Trump is out there talking now about the sleeper cell issue. You know, Kristi Noem was asked about this while under oath, while testifying in front of both the House and the Senate Judiciary Committee. And she said we can't find them. But now President Trump is saying they're keeping an eye on them. Which one do you think it is? And how bad is the threat here on the homeland? Because I would have thought, given the data, I asked DHS for the data and we compared it to what Joe Kent put out there. When we compare it, they only captured 7.8% of the known and suspected terrorists that were released under Joe Biden. So I would have thought by now, given the attacks that have been laid out over in Iran, that we would have actually seen these sleeper cells getting activated. But apparently the president says that, no, they've been shutting down communication for them. So what's going on here?
Well, Brianna, that's a toss-up, right? Which one do you believe? Do you believe the National Center for Terrorist Screening, Joe Kent, who has the actual data? Mm-hmm. Do you believe DHS Secretary, who actually has the data? Or do you believe the president's statement that we know where they are? So somewhere in the middle of all of that lies the truth. But unfortunately for the American people, we don't have time to have these discrepancies coming out from our intelligence agencies right now. We've got 18,000 terrorists in this country. By the way, I've not seen any mass news media that we've disabled these cells, that we've gone in and we've disrupted these cells. I've not actually seen one arrest. I mean, the two young boys that were arrested, you know, in New York City that were connected to ISIS. Are they truly connected by ISIS? I'm not really sure, but I haven't seen any Iranian sleeper cells dismantled in the last 5 years.
Yeah, and those two individuals, too, are American citizens. One, his family comes from Afghanistan, and they were naturalized. And I believe the other one is Turkey, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, it doesn't seem to make any sense. Now, I am receiving DHS alerts, and I constantly am asking questions in regards to how many have they captured. And again, I gave you the 7.8% number because for months now, I've been asking for the figures, and that's the numbers we've ran here, and that's in comparison to what Joe Kent put out there. So we're trying to work with those figures here, but we're not getting much in the way of the announcements from DHS regarding the sleeper cells. The last time I saw a press release go out regarding anyone who had ties to the Iranian regime was back in January of 2026 of this year. In it, they captured, I think, three of them, and they were ordered to be deported. So those are three individuals, but that's three of the thousands who were released. I think the number that Kent put out there was either 14 or 18,000 of known or suspected terrorists who were released into this country. I mean, it's such an insane figure when you put out all of those pieces of information. And then there was an ABC report that was also released yesterday as well, saying that the U.S. intelligence officials have intercepted encrypted communication believed to have originated in Iran, which was meant to trigger those operation. It's an operational trigger is the exact quote of the sleeper cells operating abroad. So this is ABC News saying that they believe that these sleeper cells have been activated. Now, Sonia, the reason why I find this so concerning is right now we're dealing with the DHS shutdown, and a lot of these DHS employees you actually represent. I want to walk our audience through what that actually means, whether this is something that could possibly be a threat or a terror attack carried out in the homeland, maybe something up in the air through TSA. The reality of it is TSA agents aren't being paid right now. And those who are, and I'm not a fan of TSA, but those who are employees of TSA, this is now, I believe, the third time they've been held hostage in this political gamble over the last 6 months. But there's long lines at TSA because TSA employees aren't showing up. Take a listen to clip 17.
And then I walked over here, and my jaw dropped.
Travelers were shocked to see massive TSA lines span across Armstrong International Airport. Countless people were in the long line that spanned from the parking garage around the airline check-in area and ended on the second level.
I had to weave through a bunch of lines that was actually just one line for the security that wove all around, and it was, where does it start? And they're like, in the garage.
According to airport leaders, it's an impact from the partial government shutdown. On Sunday, they experienced a shortage of TSA workers, causing major delays through the security checkpoint.
Yeah, it's just, this is ridiculous. This is crazy.
The long wait times caused many travelers to miss their flights.
We get here, we go through customs, and it's so packed in here, you can't even find the direction they're trying to give.
No one wants to stand in this line for over an hour, so.
I mean, I've flown in and out of New Orleans a lot, and it's, you know, a big hub, so I'm like, they have the TSA on lock. It's never been like this.
All right, so obviously it's never been like this. I think most people are not used to seeing 3 to 4 hour wait time, Sonia. What's going on internally with these agents over at TSA?
Well, Brianna, they're not being paid. We know that. And this is, unfortunately, the third government shutdown they've had to deal with in the last 12 months. And it's absolutely dangerous. If you think about national security being used in a pawn at a political game at this moment, individuals, TSA is not responsible for deportations. They're not out on the street with ICE, you know, removing people. I know that that's the big rub in Congress right now, but there's no way that you should be using national security assets against the American people because you're trying to hold out and get your way in regards to ICE reform. If you look at those videos, what shows me all of these individuals located in one area, these large lines at the airport, that in itself is creating a potential for a critical incident. We've had several bomb threats that have been called in the last few days. We don't know when those are going to be real. And unfortunately, all those individuals and passengers in those areas that are lined up in those airports, to me, is a critical incident waiting to happen.
Yeah, and it's also getting real bad right now because it's also affecting CISA, which we know the Iranians love to lead cyber attacks in this country. But it's also affecting your federal air marshals as well. How is it affecting them?
What's really bad, they're not being paid, and, you know, their duties are being split. We're still on deportation flights. There's some air marshals that are disarmed. They're not flying on commercial aircraft in the first place. And then we've got the other side of the air marshals that are doing ground-based duties. But unfortunately, the agency just asked all the air marshals to download this third-party tracking app on every one of their phones. It's called ITAC. Mm-hmm. And this tracking app now is held by a third-party server. We're trying to get more information. Mm-hmm. But it's tracking every air marshal across the United States and internationally, showcasing their location and how many of them are working in a team. So this needs to stop. We filed a complaint with DHS OIG, Joseph Kafuri. Our air marshal should not be tracked by a third party. We're in the middle of a war right now, and we need to start acting in this country like we recognize that.
Well, Sonia, why would they require tracking of the air marshals? It doesn't even make any sense. What was the excuse being used to push this?
They're trying to say it's for the air marshal's safety. So if they can't see one of them or one of them, you know, goes missing somewhere, which I don't know how that's going to happen because we work in teams and pairs. Mm. It is absolutely, it's probably another contract that DHS has procured somewhere that someone's making a lot of money for this ITAC app, but it's absolutely, it's security operationally unsafe. And they are ordering the air marshals. They're telling them they will be disciplined up into removal if they don't download this app that can track them 24/7.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's deeply, deeply concerning, and we'll look for some answers on that front. But Sonia, I want to talk to you about this story because, you know, I'm in Texas, and I think Texans are really fired up about the runoff race that's about to take place between for the U.S. Senate. It's going to be between Ken Paxton and then the current U.S. Senator, John Cornyn. Now, a lot of Texans do not like John Cornyn, and there's many reasons not to like him. We'll walk our audience through that in a little bit, but I wanted to get to this story because you have been someone who's been trying to push and advocate for law enforcement officers as someone who's spent decades working in law enforcement, running these agencies. This is a mission that's close to your heart. And this has been it's crazy to think of it, but it's been over a decade since 5 Dallas police officers were ambushed in downtown Dallas. Now, again, 5 of them were killed, and it was absolutely gut-wrenching when you went through the details and you saw what unraveled. But when it comes to the details as to how to respond to something like this, it depends on the local prosecutors, whether you have a liberal prosecutor or not. So you went forward and started pushing for a boost in our federal legislation. You pushed forward legislation, the Back the Blue Act, which was introduced to Congress to strengthen these laws. And this is something that you were working with John Cornyn's office on. Now, what this would have specifically done, it would have made it that there was a federal crime to initiate or to target, I should say, intentionally target killing or attempting to kill law enforcement officers, establishing a mandatory minimum prison sentence. Again, you'd want that to make sure these liberal prosecutors don't get off and allow these people to get off. You also were pushing for the allowing of the death penalty to be implemented or life imprisonment in federal cases involving the murder of a federal officer or just a regular local state or county official as well. So you've been trying to push this forward, and you worked with Cornyn's office. How'd that go? All right, looks like her video froze up a little bit. We'll get to that in a second once we get her back in the loop. Let's turn, you know what? Since we're on the topic of John Cornyn, and we're going to get Sonia Lobosco's video feedback up, let's talk about Cornyn and how much of a rhino he is. In clip 18, that's the first one I want to play for you right now. Clip 18, John Cornyn, he thinks highly of George Floyd, and he had no problem doing just that and giving a passionate little speech. It lasted 16 minutes long, but we'll cut to the gritty of it. Let's take a listen to clip 18.
Madam President, ours is a nation with a split screen of a battle on two fronts. One is the pandemic that we've been fighting now for many months, and the other is to continue the fight to defeat racial injustice that has sadly divided our nation since its very inception. 1 week ago today, George Floyd, a native Houstonian, was tragically died in the custody of a law enforcement officer. As the gut-wrenching video of his death spread, so has the passion and the anger among all of us who wonder, how can something like that happen? Our Constitution guarantees every American the right to protest injustice, and I believe we all have a responsibility to stand up for what's right and condemn what is plainly wrong. People of all color, backgrounds, and ages are demanding that justice be served.
All right,
in the
so
case
John
of George
Cornyn being the rhino that we all know he is, pushing the George Floyd lies, and he thinks very highly of the man who put a loaded gun to a pregnant woman's belly and was high on fentanyl the day that he died. But again, this is why John Cornyn is being pushed out of Texas. Texans have had enough of him. Back to joining me is Sonia Lobosco. She froze up a bit there, but we wanted to get back to this because, again, this is an exclusive story because Sonia actually had the displeasure of working with Cornyn's office, I'd say, given the fact that and Sonia, we've had you on multiple times to talk about your fight to help defend law enforcement officers, and you tried to do your very best to bring this fight back to Cornyn and to have him help you pass legislation that would help these officers in the future, especially when given the fact that a lot of liberal prosecutors don't prosecute them to the full extent of the law. You wanted to make sure there was another extra step that could be taken so the feds would step in. It was the Back the Blue Act. That was the one that you were pushing for. It would allow the death penalty to be utilized in these cases. Also life in prison. It'd also make it a federal crime to target these law enforcement officers. So tell us, how did it go when you were working with Cornyn's office and pushing for the Back the Blue Act? All right, so it looks like Sonia froze up again. We'll try to get her at least by phone because I want to actually have this conversation with her. So they'll work on that in just a moment. But for now, let's keep talking because I think there's a lot going on here in this front. Let's go to clip 14 because, you know, when we're talking about the push here in the Senate right now that's going on right now, it's infuriating because there's a lot of key players who are going out there right now. They're targeting Ken Paxton. Now, Ken Paxton is one of the best state AGs that we have. And so it doesn't seem to make any sense why they're targeting him. But in clip 14, Caroline Wren does a great job at outlining just that. Take a listen.
Why is D.C. so against him? And is, of course, you have to follow the money. Go look at the money behind this primary. It is all the major corporations and the lobbyists. And you know why they don't want Ken Paxton? Because Ken Paxton does not answer to money. He has, in fact, sued every major corporation in this country as a Texas attorney general on behalf of the people of Texas. He has sued BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street for conspiring to manipulate the energy markets. He sued Meta and forced them into a $1.4 billion settlement for violating our privacy rights. He took on the CCP by suing Sheen Temu for toxic products and spyware. He sued the opioid companies, securing billions. He sued all the major insulin manufacturers. He sued Eli Lilly. These are the same companies that fund groups like Senate Leadership Fund and the NRSC and others. This is why they're pouring millions in. And this is why you, the people, have got to step up to fight these corporations, to fight the D.C. establishment, get Ken Paxton in so that you actually have a senator. It's very rare to have this, a senator who is going to fight for you and not for the pharmaceutical companies.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we need in this country. We need somebody who is going to do just that. Ken Paxton, I get the emails all the time from his media team, is the only AG out there constantly fighting and pushing back. He's gone after the CCP. He's gone after these greedy companies, these pharmaceutical companies. So it makes sense why they're pushing for John Cornyn. In fact, when you look at the spending that was done on John Cornyn just to make it into the runoff race, which is an absolute disgrace, he had to spend over $100 million. $100 million, folks. Do you know how insane that is? And again, a lot of that money came from the rhinos in the Republican Party who are trying to push for Cornyn to stay in. Cornyn is not a Republican to anyone's standards, but he's a protective member of the deep state, and that's the reason why they need him in there. Now, all of a sudden, he's like, oh, I was watching a clip of him. Oh, we can't look Ken Paxton because Ken Paxton, well, Ken Paxton's a problem. Ken Paxton's not electable. Ken Paxton is beloved by the people of Texas. You put Ken Paxton in the race, guess what? He is going to win by a landslide. Even the favorable polls, if one of the Democrats run, has Ken Paxton still winning. You could put the biggest liberal that you want on the left, run as a Democrat, guess what? Ken Paxton still winning. Now we have Sonia Lobosco. Sonia, I wanted to talk to you. We've got about 4 minutes here about what it was like in your experience to work with John Cornyn. Tell us about it.
Hey, sorry about that, Brianna. We had some unstable internet here. Not sure what's happening. I hope Iran's not trying to snuff us all out on our internet today. But yeah, it was a 10-year journey working with Senator Cornyn. After the Dallas police officers, there were 5 that were murdered and 11 that were injured in one incident. I said, something has got to give. We have got to make the penalty so strong. When someone thinks about killing a police officer, they're going to know no matter what state that they're in that they're going to face the death penalty. So I reached out to Senator Cornyn's office after that tragedy in Dallas and began working with him on Back the Blue Act. So I've been working for 10 years now, and that bill is still stalled. It's not moved anywhere for 10 years to enhance the penalties of anyone that wants to kill not only a law enforcement officer, but a firefighter or an EMS personnel as well. So over a decade, I've trusted Senator Cornyn. I thought he was going to get the job done. And each year I go back to Congress to try to work on this bill, and it ends up in the same place. It ends up being stalled somewhere and to die in the bills that never get passed. So this was a very, very important piece of legislation for law and order. And I hope President Trump will really think about the endorsement before he makes it regarding who is going to really come out here and produce law and order for our first responders in the community to keep us safe. Because I have to tell you, John Cornyn so far hasn't been able to get the job done.
Well, I mean, Sonia, the fact that you've been fighting this fight for as long as you have tells me everything you need to know. I mean, this guy doesn't care about Texans. And we hear him time and time again. You know, Charlie Kirk, there's a soundbite that I was able to dig into. He's going out there and Charlie Kirk saying, Hey, listen, guys, this is, by the way, this is right after, and I know you wanted to bring this up, when he was booed for pushing for gun legislation. Charlie Kirk said, listen, he doesn't care about what Texans think. He, in fact, just cares about the big donors, the big lobbyists, the big corporations that are to keep funding him, because he knows that he's lost Texans with all of this, that's where his loyalty is going to lie. Do you believe that's true? Because it seems like that's how Texans feel around here.
I absolutely believe it's true, Brianna. You have to look at his track record. He's been in Congress, what, almost for 24 years. Look at what is the production back to the American people. What has he done to increase the livelihood and the lives of Texas? So I really have to think, and you have to look, he's being pushed to be endorsed by Thune, who is actually blocking the filibuster being taken away. Look at the establishment. That should be red flags to the voters in Texas. You want someone like Ken Paxton, who is a grassroots candidate, who cares about our country, who's a hardline conservative, that's going to go in and he's going to do the job that's been he's been tasked to do. If you look at these establishment set rhinos, they are looking out for themselves, their wallets, their big donors. They're not listening to their constituents, and their record should speak for themselves.
Yeah, well, Sonia, I'm actually right now in the process of asking Ken Paxton's team if they would get behind your bill, the Back the Blue Act that you're looking to push forward. And we look forward to hearing back from them. I have a feeling that Ken Paxton will back all of this because, again, he is one of the very few in Texas who's out here every day battling it out with the liberal prosecutors. I know here in Travis County in Austin, Texas, he's been very aggressive in trying to do as much as he can to battle it out with the Soros-backed prosecutor. But he's restricted. But I know on a federal level, if he were to make his way into the Senate, I think this would be a top priority for him. But I won't answer for his campaign. I've just reached out to them to get them to directly address this issue, and I look forward to bringing that to our audience. Sonny Labasco, thank you for all the incredible work you do. Not only are you out there fighting for these federal agents, but you're also helping human trafficking victims. And it is an honor to call you a friend and have you on the show as always. Sonia, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, and God bless America, Brianna.
God bless America, Sonia. We sure do love this great country. Sonia Labasco, one of the incredible individuals out there trying her very best to fight all of the swamp creatures, get really important legislation pushed through, and also advocate for those who are trying to save this country on a federal law enforcement level. And so we're honored to have her on the program as well. All right, folks, we've got a lot more happening in just a little bit. Raheem Kassam will be joining the program. He's the editor over at the National Pulse, and he's also the co-owner of Butterworth's, the restaurant in D.C. It's actually a really good one. Nick Sorter took me there, and it was great. Well, he'll be joining me in just a little bit to break down the John Cornyn saga, because he's been digging into Cornyn's past, and look forward to having him on in just a little bit. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. It's the March Mega Sale going on right now. It's up to 40% off at thealexjonesstore.com.
About to embark on a great adventure.
President Truman has chosen you and your crew to lead a highly classified mission.
Where do we pick up our escort?
There will be no escort.
All I can tell you is that this cargo can end the war.
You can save millions of lives.
You are my crew, and our survival depends on all of you functioning as one unit.
Yes, sir!
A short time ago, an American airplane dropped one bomb on Hiroshima. With this bomb, we have now added a new and revolutionary increase in destruction.
Now I am become death, the destroyer of worlds.
Captain! There's something in the water!
It's a Japanese bomb!
All hands, your battle station!
Hasha!
Of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks, you still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is, and they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have a conversation for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations, so I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that. when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robinson was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March Mega Sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, Methylene Blue Tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexhomestore.com.
If it matters to America, it matters here. This is the American Journal with Brianna Morello, live streaming on band.videonext around the globe.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you guys are all here. Third hour of the show is going well over here. It was a little chaotic with all the news breaking earlier today and trying to keep up with the headlines, but there was an important headline that dropped yesterday that I want to make sure was brought to your attention. It's in regards to something that many people deem as very controversial. I'm talking about the President of the United States potentially endorsing John Cornyn. Now, it's not someone you would think the president would get behind, given the fact that John Cornyn is a Trump hater and has been a Trump hater for many years now. In fact, he's done everything possible to uppercut President Trump and his MAGA agenda. So it was quite surprising to hear that the president actually might be getting behind this candidate. Well, according to Politico, who has now put out this article in regards to all of this, they're saying the president has actually delayed the endorsement of either Paxton or Cornyn. Now, again, they're in a runoff race. This is obviously going to be a very heated one, given the fact that Cornyn had to spend about $100 million on just getting into the runoff race. And that's because Texans don't like him. Texans really don't like him. John Cornyn has done everything possible to just spit in the faces of those Texans and just commit his loyalty to both the deep state operatives who are trying to control this country, as well as the big corporations that continue to fund him. Now Cornyn's in a bit of a sticky situation, given the fact that he has a legitimate challenge in someone who has been fighting for Texans since day one. Joining me to discuss all of the obnoxious things that John Cornyn has said over these last few years and his lack of care for Americans and Texans who are looking to hold deep state accountable, obviously, but most importantly, fight for their rights, is Raheem Kassam. He is the editor over at the National Pulse, and he's been doing incredible work over there at digging into Cornyn's past and obviously his present as well. He's also the co-owner of Butterworth's. But, you know, I had the honor of going to that restaurant in D.C., and I have to say, Raheem, Nick Sorter took me there. I didn't know it was your restaurant at first until, you know, we sat down and he had mentioned you a couple of times. Like, I wonder if Raheem's here. It's a great restaurant. I highly recommend it to anyone who's in Washington, D.C. to definitely check it out. Raheem, thank you again for being here. We appreciate it. I wanted your reaction to the news that President Trump is going to delay the endorsement of either candidates, and it's all due to the Save America Act, according to Politico.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you for having me. I think I was about as mortified as any right-headed conservative would be when I heard that President Trump might endorse John Cornyn in Texas. And Texans don't need a restaurateur with a British accent from Washington, D.C. to lecture them on the pitfalls of John Cornyn. They've had to live with it for a very long time. He's been a stain on the state, quite frankly. He has been in opposition not just to President Trump's legislative agenda and his political direction of travel for the last decade, but he's also helped the deep state. He's also slapped Mueller and Comey on the back. He played along with the Russia hoax. He tried to block the border wall. You know, there are all sorts of examples in John Cornyn's recent political history, let alone his 30-year political history, that show him to be completely out of step with where most conservatives in the United States are today. We started to look over the course of the weekend at his staff and who he's got running his campaign. And the thing is the same all the way through. The thread that runs through the Cornyn crew is anti-MAGA. It's anti-America first. They're very brazen and open about it. And even to the point where I don't think they're just rhinos, Brianna. I think some of these people are closeted leftists. You know, one of his staff, Matt Makowiak, has written glowingly about George Floyd. He attempted to write a hagiography and filed it to me at the National Pulse as if I was going to run that story. That was in 2021, and we rejected it outright. There are all sorts of things in the Corn and Crew that should make Texas voters especially declare themselves full-throatedly against the man. But what's really interesting here is the Save America Act being a part of all of this, right? So you've got the president who is now trying to negotiate the passage of one of the most important pieces of legislation that he will ever be able to sign. And he has to use, I have great sympathy for him, he has to use every bit of leverage that he can to try and get that passed. Ken Paxton, the other candidate in the race, the person who has stood shoulder to shoulder with President Trump and the MAGA movement for years now, even he understands that. He said, look, if they can pass the Save America Act, then I will even offer to stand down in this runoff. It doesn't look like John Thune, Leader Thune, all the rhinos around him really, truly want to get that done. So here's how I look at it now. And everybody who asks me about it, here's what I tell them. I say, this moment in history is like when Dave Brat beat Eric Cantor, right? It was an unwinnable race, they said originally. You can't beat the minority leader. You're never going to be able to do it. And Dave Brat didn't just beat him, but humiliated him, sent him packing, sent him out of D.C. And it is truly my belief that if you didn't have those Tea Party style victories all the way back when, then you wouldn't have had the MAGA movement be able to come along as it did and when it did. All of those things, it's they're connected by a thread. And this is that moment again. It's the outsider versus the establishment. And I seriously, seriously hope that Texas voters take that as seriously as it is.
Yeah, and I think you made a very good point, and I want to keep highlighting it to our audience. If you're not familiar with Texas politics, we often, by the way, when I got here, because I got here a couple of months ago, when I got to Texas, you know what they said to me? They said, oh, we're a red state. But when you actually look at their state legislator, you realize very quickly that they're not actually a red state, that in fact, they often do have Democrats running on the Republican ticket, and they often do get elected. And so they've been pushing the left's agenda in this state rather than the Republican agenda that their voters actually want. And so many people, so many voters who probably just don't have the time to sit here and dissect all of these candidates just quickly jump on board and vote down the ticket, and they don't realize that they're actually electing a Democrat. And so that's one of the big key issues here. And I do truly believe that you're spot on in that regard about John Cornyn, because John Cornyn, we played that clip about John Cornyn speaking on the House floor right after George Floyd, or should I say St. George Floyd, was killed. He refused to obviously say anything about the fentanyl part in this, but most importantly went out there and pretend like George Floyd was a victim, and then played into the racial argument that those on the left wanted to make. And again, that's something that the left does. So it doesn't seem to make any sense. But, you know, you, and I kind of want to get you to weigh in on this, you also alluded to the fact that Ken Paxton is willing to step out of the race if Republicans in the Senate can get the Save America Act passed, us also including the filibuster as well. Do you think that's a good move for Paxton, though? Because I feel like Paxton is the best bet we have right now. And John Cornyn's come out there and said he's in favor of both of those things getting pushed through. So do you think that if they actually do this, that Paxton really should step out of this?
Look, I think if Cornyn and Senate leadership really were being honest, they would say, we're not that into this thing. You know, remember, these are the people, again, and I bring their staff into it too, because it's imperative to understand, you know, how these Senate offices work, not just how the member operates and votes. You know, all of them, to a man, refused to say that the 2020 election was stolen, refused to even say that there was anything questionable about it. You had Joe Biden locking down the Capitol. Remember, I mean, I live two blocks from the U.S. Capitol. I remember vividly the troops on the streets with the long guns, the barbed wire fences, the inauguration by night, you know, all of the illegitimacy. And then, of course, you know, what was that all followed with? Was some of the worst 4 years America has ever encountered. The border completely thrown open, a president that was directing things by autopen, which who knows whether it was him or not who was actually behind any of that. And we still haven't got to the bottom of all these things. Packets of cocaine found in the White House. You know, all of these things have led us to where we are at the moment. And all of those things could have been stopped if people like John Cornyn and his staff and his colleagues and their staff actually stood up and told the truth about what happened in that election. So I don't buy that they are now suddenly interested in securing America's elections. They weren't interested in it back then. And I shouldn't imagine that they're particularly interested in it now. I think the Save America Act is one of the most critical pieces of legislation that could ever be passed in our lifetimes. And the political establishment is terrified of something like that because it has cheated for so very long. And by the way, Republicans have done it too. You know, there are plenty of episodes around the country over the last several decades where Republicans in office have cheated in their elections also. And this makes all of that less and less likely. For Ken Paxton, to address your question directly, for Ken Paxton to announce that he is going to step out of the race or would step out of the race if they pass the Save America Act, if they remove the filibuster, whatever it is, it wasn't just about, you know, how sacrificial he's willing to be in all of this. What it was really about is nationalizing that election. It makes it a referendum now. Texas, you're voting in a referendum on the Save America Act. You're voting in a referendum on the direction of travel for the MAGA movement and the direction of travel for conservatism. And the direction of travel for the country writ large. The stakes really are that high. I don't want anybody to think that this is hyperbole. I'm not particularly hyperbolic in my rhetoric. This really does matter. It really is the moment. And I keep saying to people from all around the country, I say, if I were you, I would donate to Ken Paxton, even if you're not from Texas, and then I'd put some money on Ken Paxton winning, and you'll make your money back. Because I think they're not going to pass the Save America Act. I think they have no intention on passing the Save America Act. And I think Ken Paxton, with Trump's endorsement or without, can beat John Cornyn.
Yeah, and the numbers prove just that. I know you guys have posted this up on your website as well. The National Pulse published this tweet that breaks down the data. I mean, Paxton beats him whether he's endorsed or not, whether he endorses Cornyn or whether he doesn't get an endorsement at all, if the president stays neutral on all of this. So, yeah, I would say that this is actually very favorable to Paxton, regardless of how this goes. And again, just to highlight to our audience, I mean, just to make it into the runoff race, John Cornyn had to pour in about $100 million compared to Ken Paxton. I believe it was $4 million. So there's that. I was also there at the Paxton party as well. When the results were coming in, they were trickling in. And there was just so much energy in the room, so much media actually as well. I think some people thought that he was going to take it that night and there wasn't going to be a runoff. And that's the reason why the media came out and they were covering it extensively. But when you look at it and you compare to what John Cornyn had and compared to the show of people who showed up for him, it was nothing, absolutely nothing. So I think that also kind of highlights this as well. But I want to get to clip 16 right now, Raheem, because this highlights how much of a horrible person I think John Cornyn truly is. He's been holding up President Trump's agenda from day one. A lot of his key confirmation votes, he's been standing in the way of. Specifically, too, this article comes back up, too. Russ Vogt, who is probably one of my favorite picks for President Trump right now, who's done a great job over at OMB, but he tried to hold him up and stall it out. And when you compare that to how he spoke so highly of Merrick Garland, it's quite concerning. Take a listen to clip 16.
This morning, I had a very good conversation with Judge Merrick Garland, who President Biden has nominated for Attorney General. Judge Garland's extensive legal experience makes him well-suited to lead the Department of Justice, and I appreciated his commitment to keep politics out of the Justice Department. That is my number one criterion for who should be the next head of the Department of Justice as Attorney General. And I think both sides should support a depoliticized Justice Department. And that's what I hope Judge Garland wants confirmed.
It's such a joke, but here he is backing Merrick Garland. We know that Republicans did cross over to confirm him. But when it comes to people like Matt Gaetz getting confirmed as AG, they wouldn't do that. They wouldn't back Ed Martin either getting in. So there's a common theme here. They're okay to cross over for the deep state operatives who I believe have infiltrated places like the DOJ and elsewhere. But when it comes to President Trump's agenda, they will stonewall it and stand in the way. I mean, again, how is the president even considering John Cornyn at this point?
Yeah, look, I mean, I I find myself tiring of the phrase rhino, right? Because they're not just rhinos. They may be pro-life. They're pro-life Democrats is what they are. And we need to be addressing them as such. It's perhaps the only issue that they side with us on anymore, is the life issue. Everything else we can go to hell. And I really think that Texas voters, you know, conservatives, if you're looking at your neighbors with, you know, yard signs, MAGA, whatever, I think it's worth checking in on them and saying, hey, you're not voting for Cornyn, are you? You know, just give them a little friendly nudge in the right direction. Because unfortunately, whether you know them or not, and I don't, there are people who voted for him in that primary. And I struggle to understand, especially with what a lot of Texas is currently going through. I think the situation with Islam, for instance, in the state, really tells you about a direction of travel that you desperately, desperately need to avoid. Listen, I wrote a book in 2017 called No Go Zones, and the strapline was how Sharia is coming to a neighborhood near you. And everybody at the time called me a mentalist. Well, I am a mentalist, but not for that reason. The reality is the leadership in Texas has not well represented its people. And I think about, you know, it's 190 years ago since the Alamo earlier this week. And I think about the sacrifices that was made by Texians over years and years to establish the state, to keep it up, to make it red, because it once was, and now having been infiltrated by, as I say, pro-life Democrats. I also think it's really interesting to note, you know, who's on John Cornyn's side here and why those stories got leaked to the press a week ago saying he's just about to get the endorsement, you know, in Axios and Politico and all of the establishment papers of record. The Atlantic magazine got the scoop. Well, who is it getting the scoop from? Well, that would be John Cornyn's consultants. Who are John Cornyn's consultants? Well, primarily Chris LaCivita. Chris LaCivita actually served on the Trump campaign in 2024 and has used the cachet and the political capital and the actual capital, the financial capital, that he built up working for President Trump. He is now deploying that against the MAGA movement. These are dirty people. They are filthy people. They hate you. They hate me. And rightly so. They have plenty of reason to do so because we will continue reporting on them and exposing them. And I'm grateful that you do the same thing. Again, I can't stress it too much, and I know I'm repeating myself, but I want people to understand just how, you know, imperative this moment is. It is that Cantor-Brat fight. It is a fight for the direction of the state and indeed the nation and, of course, conservatism writ large. There's plenty of examples. You raised that clip there. But there's plenty of examples of John Cornyn siding with Democrats. I'm yet to find real examples of him siding with MAGA conservatives.
Yeah. And now he's sitting here pretending like he has to be reelected to push forward with President Trump's agenda. I actually want to play clip 15 for you. There's a bunch of clips these days that I could play, Raheem, and we'd be here probably for my whole 3-hour show tomorrow if we were to go through it all. But this one is quite impressive because he made a very controversial claim by saying that radical people are the ones that are going to be electing Ken Paxton in the primary. But now he's had to backtrack a little bit because it did cause a lot of heated back and forth on that front. But let's play clip 15 and how he's trying to backtrack.
When you have a very small percentage of the electorate actually turning out to vote, strange things can happen. And I want as big a turnout as we can possibly have of Republicans who want to maintain Texas as a red state and to help President Trump during the remainder 2 years of his office.
Following up on that, is that what you meant when you talked about radical people showing up, I think, in an interview in recent days?
Well, I just mean people who maybe are not representative of the Republican Party. I've spent decades now helping to build the Republican Party in Texas to make it the dominant party that it is and to turn Texas red. I don't want to jeopardize any of that by nominating somebody who's unelectable in November.
All right. So he seems to think that Ken Paxton's unelectable, but the data tells us otherwise. He also refers to he refers to his role in all of this as helping President Trump, which is such a noble cause given the fact that over these last few years, he's actually done the exact opposite. But again, he still thinks that you and I, Raheem, are radical people, and he can't seem to rationalize why we would, I am a little radical. That's why I have a show on InfoWars, but he tends to think that's the case. I think it's laughable, though, given the fact that he's getting endorsements. When he is getting endorsements, it's from, Jasmine Crockett? I mean, this is such a joke that Texans over here just see right through it.
you know, the point is not that he calls us radical. The point is that he thinks radicalism is a bad thing. You know, he would probably listen to Barry Goldwater's, extremism quote and think it was a bad thing and think that Goldwater was a bad thing. In fact, he almost certainly thinks that Barry Goldwater was a bad thing. And his staff, again, to come back to it, you know, yesterday we caught one of them who had served as his political director recently, calling a Paxton voter trailer park trash. This is the new deplorables. These are who these people think that you are. They think you're scum. They don't want to be near you. They think you smell. And, you know, that is very clear, not just amongst, obviously, you know, what you heard from Cornyn there himself, but from how his staff treats people. Matt Mikowiak, again, on January the 6th, 2021, tweeted, "We are witnessing domestic terrorism." His quote was liked at the time by none other than Chris Lacivita. He has railed against President Trump. He has pushed the Russia hoax. He said once, quote, "It is outrageous, dangerous, and ridiculous for an American president to take Putin's word over the U.S. intelligence community. No American should offend it," end quote. Well, it turns out that we know now that the American intelligence community was lying to us. It was lying to us about the Hunter Biden laptop. It was lying to us about the Russia hoax. But here you have Cornyn staffers, and I found all of these tweets. And by the way, there are more to come. So if you're interested in this kind of thing and getting the real skinny on these people, go to thenationalpulse.com over the next couple of days, because we'll be putting more of these up. The sorts of things that they've said about MAGA media, they've tried to actually work with censors and censorship companies, those companies that review whether or not you're fake news or not, to try and get the likes of Breitbart News banned and demonetized. These are who these people are. And again, a lot of people might be tearing their hair out hearing me say this and go, well, then why does President Trump flirting with the idea of endorsing him? Listen, again, you have to understand that he is in a tricky situation with trying to get this bill passed. He's almost handing it over to you, the voter, at this point, and going like, hey, I need you to have my back on this because my hands are a little bit tied by how we get this legislation passed on Capitol Hill, how it makes its way to my desk. I'm not making excuses for the man, but that is, as I understand it, what is going through his head currently. I could sit here, like you said, I could sit here and talk all day about this sort of thing. But that really stuck with me yesterday when that guy called that lady on the internet trailer park trash, because they'd never say the same for. It's not just, by the way, it's not just a class divide. It's a racial epithet. He would never say that to a black or brown person, something like that. He would never call Jasmine Croquette a hood rat, despite the fact that she's a hood rat, right? This is a particular thing that they're doing that is racially charged against white people, and it's a class divide between what he perceives as him being the bow-tied, rich country club conservative and ordinary MAGA voters, the great deplorables of the world. And I cannot tell you how angry that makes me.
Yeah. No, it does. It does. And like you said it actually really well. It's the new deplorable. And I think that's what they're going at with all of this. And, you know, we'll see how it goes. I don't see it going well for them, Raheem, but, we'll sit back and watch. Raheem,
you should get that lady on your show, by the way. Ask her how it felt being called trailer park trash by this Cornyn operative.
I will.
I'm sure she has some choice words for him.
I will. We'll get her on. Yeah. Cause I like that idea too. Well, that's the thing too. Cause you never hear from the other person's perspective in all of this. And, you know, that'll be enlightening. So we'll definitely do that. Thank you, Raheem Kassam, for joining us today, folks. If you haven't done so already, definitely add the National Pulse to your reading cycle. You could subscribe over on the website itself. That's the best way to get it directly to your inbox. But they do incredible work. We always use their reporting here on the American Journal as well. So we strongly rely on that. Plus, also got to check out his restaurant if you're in Washington, D.C. I can't speak today. It's Butterworth's. That's where you could find him at in Washington, D.C. We appreciate you, Raheem. Thank you for joining the show today.
Thank you. Cheers.
Cheers, my friend. I know it was an early morning for him, and we are grateful to have him on the show. So thank you for that. Folks, I wanted to point you guys all to a story that also dropped, and I want to make sure we don't miss this one. But there was a report that just came out regarding the latest in the Epstein files as you kind of sift through all the information that was dropped out there. This one is the latest. There's a new report that an inmate over at the correctional facility apparently told the FBI that on the morning of Epstein's death, which was August 10th of 2019, that she overheard, I'm sorry, this inmate, it's a guy, overheard the prison guards saying and talking about, dude, you killed that dude, to one of the officers. So again, that's one of the claims, and that's one of the documents that has just been released. This is the account which appears to be as someone who was interviewed. It's a 5-page handwritten FBI interview report. So just one of the many layers to all of this, the Epstein saga. Do you still believe he killed himself? Well, I don't think any of our audience members actually believe that. All right, that does it for me on the American Journal today. We got a jam-packed program we're working on for you guys tomorrow, so we look forward to you being here. In the meantime, though, the Alex Jones Show starts next, so don't go anywhere.
As InfoWars not delivered. In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the info war continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalists, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried ultramethylene blue or our bovine colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you should become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it recurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click in your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on top of everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet, up to 40% off store-wide, 25% off on the shirts, on the hats, 10% off on things like the collectible knives, and up to 40% off on supplements like ultramethylene blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March mega sale right now, running until the 17th at thealexjonesstore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Again, I salute you and thank you. Take action now.